No, it's fucking, I find it very, so it's like there's a weird like laziness to me on even things. So it's like when I get like, so I mean, I hate when I hear from a gig like, you get yourself out, you book your flight.
Oh yeah,
and we'll reimburse. I'm like, I'm going to blow this, dude.
Oh,
like I'm going to blow
minute,
this.
Always paying more. I'm hundreds of dollars
For nothing
because they're like, oh, have you made your flight for that yet? Like, oh,
don't you hate when you get a ridiculous, don't you hate when you get a solid number like $450 travel stipend,
uh-huh,
and you're still taking like a fucking $300
because
you're buying a $700 ticket because at that point you're like, well, really, I guess I'm only paying $300 for it because they're giving me $400. Children don't grow.
Well, hello there. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, hi, guys. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. Who is that? Who is that just doing? Well, hello there. Well, hello there.
Did you hear it?
Well, hello there.
Mm-hmm. That was the best, one of the best episodes of Married with Children when Al couldn't remember the name of that song. All he knew was like two chords and a lyric. So he would call up the radio station and be like, I want to request a song. He couldn't get it out of his head, but he couldn't remember what it was. And he goes, I want to request a song. And I'm like, yeah, what song? He goes, I don't know, but it goes like this. Hmm, him. It's like, hmm, him. That's what it is. Man, that show was stupid. They boycotted it. Did you know that? There were pickets outside Fox, saying you should get rid of the smut. Married with Children. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Married with Children. They were angry. It was too dirty, too racy to show the American. Hey, you guys. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 121. On this episode, I talked to my friend, Big J Okerson. And I was going to talk to him about music festivals and music shows in general, because he's been to like a bunch of them. He went on tour with Korn for a while, and he went on some other tour too. Maybe Ozfest? Maybe it was that. I don't know. He's got a lot of cool stories about that. But then we got sidetracked, and then I just figured, you know, sometimes I just go like, you know how when you have to down a mountain when you're skiing? White people problems. And then you know, you're going around the moguls, but then you got like three quarters of the way down. So you're like, fuck it. I'll just ski fast on this and I'll deal with it. That might not be the best example, but the point is, we got sidetracked on talking about how the two of us connected on an idea that we're really ill equipped to handle a grown up world. We're both in our late 30s, mid to late 30s. And I don't know how to do shit. I went to Kmart today to buy just stuff for my apartment. I don't know. Like, I didn't take measurements of these windows I need drapes for. I told my ex Ashley, the artist, that I was that I bought drapes. She was like, you haven't done anything with your. I'm like, no, I bought drapes. And she goes, what color are they? Maroon. And I was like, yes, they're maroon. I went to Kmart today to buy a bunch of stuff. I don't know how to put any of it in. I got like hooks. I buy hooks. I just buy hooks all the time, thinking I'm gonna put in hooks for the bathroom door or for fucking behind the front door to hang my keys. Why? And then I don't do anything with them. They just stay in their packaging from Ace Hardware or whatever it is. There's just hooks everywhere that I'll never do anything with. I'm like not an adult. My mom didn't. I walked into this apartment after being. I went to Alaska. Me and Joe Rogan went to Alaska and went fishing for 3 days. And we did a show to pay for it on Friday night in Alaska. And the full daylight of 10:30 p.m. Anchorage. It was a lot of fun. I went Shroom Fest, then I went to Alaska, and then I came back to New York. But I came back to New York, and by the way, fishing is hilarious. It's great. There was nobody on the river where we went to Little Susan. Nobody there, because they had a rule called catch and release, in which the fish population is down, so to protect it until it goes up, they don't want to like wipe it out completely, so they say you can't, you know, there's three levels. Just go ahead and catch and eat, or they call them catch and keep. And then there's another level of catch and release. You can catch them, but you can't take them out of the water. They have to like leave one fin in the water at all times, a tail at least. And then the other one is like just no fishing. Because catch and release, this is the way it does. It still kills like 60% of the fish you catch. You have this giant hook in their fucking head somewhere, and they just bleed. There's just blood everywhere. And then you put them into water, which is like the best way to commit suicide, is to have open wounds and then fucking have them in water to draw it all out so there's no clotting. You're just sending them to their death. But you're like, I didn't do it. Nah, it's flimsy. Sam Waterston would have, if he was a person you were killing that way, Waterston would have convicted you. So I got back to my apartment in New York, and I walked through the door, and I see they're just still closed in boxes, and it's a fucking pigsty with the goddamn microwave still not out of the box that I've had for a month and a half, maybe 2 months I've had here, still in the box. I got a girl coming to visit me on this week. So I'm trying to get everything done by then to make it look like livable. I called a handyman. Eventually I realized, this is what you do, guys. Eventually you realize I've got weaknesses, and my weakness is that I can't clean. So I called a handyman. I pussed out. I said, I'm not a fucking man like they told me I should be. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. So he's going to come under the guise of fucking putting up a bracket for a flat screen TV the Madrigal gave me. I'm also going to say, hey, I need you to do some other stuff. And I'm going to have him hang up drapes and put in the hook over the shower so I can steam my t-shirts. And just hang up pictures. Oh, I got to look at where all the pictures go. So I'm going to have this guy coming on Tuesday, the day she gets here. Just hanging up pictures, making the place look livable. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's just a nail. She's hammering her nail in somewhere. But then what if you catch a stud? Or you, if you don't catch a stud, I don't even know what it is. Stud finder. There's a stud finder, right? Do you need a stud finder? What the fuck's a stud? Is that like a more wood behind the front wood? Or plaster or drywall? I don't know what the difference between plaster and drywall is. I go into a place and buy a nail and they're like, is this for plaster or drywall? I'm like, I don't know. I need the hook thing that goes inside the screw. Like there's a plaster. I don't know any of it. And they're like, oh, that'll tear up a fucking drywall. I'm like, well, it might be plaster. I don't know. It's something. But my air conditioners came, and I put that in immediately. My first hot day here, where it was like 75 at night and sticky. And I was sleeping gross. As soon as those air conditioners came, I tried to go back to sleep. I was like, fuck this. I have air conditioners. Let's not hoard these. I put them right in. God, it feels so good to have built something, but way better to have air conditioning. Anyway, back to this podcast. So the point is, me and him are neither one of us are equipped to fucking handle an adult world. I finally realized I just gave up. I'm not going to do the laundromat here. It takes forever. I do it in LA when I have one in my own like building. So I just handed it off. It's pretty fucking cheap. It's like $20 for, it would be like $12.50 for the quarters for the laundry. I don't cook like an adult. I don't clean. My mom didn't teach me how to clean. It's her fault. I'm going to blame it on her. Every time she's like, all right, clean your room. Well, it didn't stick, Mom. You didn't instill it in me because I live like a slob. I met this chick on a plane to LA for Shroomfest. And she was telling about some guy she dated who was like, she was like, hey, he's still living like he was in college. You know, at some point, you got to move on from that. He's still, you know, he has random posters up and mismatched furniture. And just like, he didn't make his bed. She said it was such disgust. He didn't make his bed. And I was like, can you imagine? I haven't made my bed. I change my sheets every fucking 2 months. 6 months was an exaggeration on my special. Fuck. No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't an exaggeration. I'll change them before that chick gets here. That's when I usually wash them, when before girls come over to my apartment. What was I going to say? So anyway, yeah, this episode is just about, well, it's about lots of shit, about jealousy and some fun story at the end there. But we'll just call it about us being unprepared to be adults in an adult world. I should do some dates really quickly. Jay, by the way, we met we didn't meet at Blues Fest. We did Ottawa Blues Fest together and watched Black Keys and we watched Perfect Circle. He tried to get me into them. He's into douche music. No, it's not douche music. It's hillbilly music. Modern hillbilly. So like Korn, Perfect Circle, System of a Down. They might be exempt. What's the one that's like half Armenian? They were like the only band I liked out of that whole genre. The half Armenian band. Was it System of a Down? Maybe not. Serj Tankian. Who is he the lead singer of? That name is Armenian as fuck. No, we met at the Nasty Show in Montreal. My first time I went to Montreal. We got paired up, and it was just like a few of us all alone. No, that was with Metzger. It was my second time in Montreal, the comedy festival. It was me, him, Jeff Ross, Jezelnik, Mike Britt, Mike Ward, too. And maybe that was it. That was a good time. And it was fun because we all just smoked pot the entire time. I asked, Jezelnik's the only one I didn't know. Mike Britt smoked a little. Jay smoked. Jeff Ross smokes. Those Skunk guys are really cool who run Skunk Magazine. They always like, give us like care packages when we get there. It's great. So Jezelnik's the only one we didn't know about. And I was like, maybe this will be... And Mike Ward, we didn't really know that well. I didn't really get to know him until halfway through. But I was like, Jezelnik, do you smoke marijuana? Ever? And he just turns. He goes, oh, yeah, all day long. I was like, oh, great. So all we did was just get obliterated. We do three shows a night, and we would just get obliterated on pot in the back steps. Just as soon before we had to go on there, we had to all be there like 5 minutes before the show started. We just, as soon as that happened, when you go on, you're like, I'll be right back. You go on, you come right back, and you just sit there and smoke. Downstairs was fucking nosh and stuff to get. Man, that was fun. So Jay and I became friends from that, and then we also ended up, Just for Laughs sent us to me, him, and Ross, sent us all around Canada for like that whole summer. So we became pretty good friends. And then one of those things was the Ottawa Blues Fest that I mentioned. But Jay, you guys, he's one of those comics. And man, it's like, I don't know if it was like Burl was like that a while ago, but he's just like, he's an awesome comic. He's a great comic, and nobody's heard of him. He was on that show Z-Rock, but I don't even, like, I don't know. I don't know why nobody knows him. He told me once, he was like, Dave Attell asked me, this is from Jay, he goes, Dave Attell asked me why, this is Jay talking, Dave Attell asked me why I'm not famous yet, and I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know. And he goes, no, man, I'm serious. Like, why are you not famous? Why don't people know who you are? You're doing something wrong. You should know him. I don't know where he's going to be. He doesn't have a fucking website that's updated at all, but he's in New York. If you're ever in New York, you should see him. He's closing out most shows that he's on. He's at the Stand all the time. He's consistently at the Stand a lot. So if you ever want to go to a comedy club in New York, he'd be on there at the Stand. And then he goes on a lot at the Nasty Show at the Comedy Cellar. Their Thursday night dirty show. And he goes on through the week at the Comedy Cellar too. Oh, here we go. Oh, and he's doing the Just for Laughs Nazi show this year. Oh, that'll be perfect. You guys, in July, he'll be in. He just texted me. He's at the Newport Funny Bone the 5th through the 7th. So that would mean July. So if you guys live in Newport, Kentucky, July 5th through the 7th, go see Jay. Oh, I didn't get to my dates. Well, fuck it. Let me talk about Jay for a second. He's just awesome. He's awesome. He's a great riffer. He's fucking the type of dirty that I love, which is like he's not calling any attention to it. It's not. There's no part of him that's like, oh, look at me say this dirty thing. It's mostly like, anyways, this dirty thing happened. But the point is, this is what I learned from it. Like, or that's a bad example too. But like, he doesn't. That's not the emphasis of his filth. He just happens to be saying it. So go see him in the Funny Bone in Newport, the 5th through the 7th, and then Montreal Comedy Festival, the 17th, July 17th through the 27th, 2013. See me, I'm not doing shit this month. I'm in New York all the time. So you can come see me at the Stand. You can come see me at the Comedy Cellar. I'm doing a show. Yeah, whatever. I'm just doing shows. And then I'll be in Indianapolis. At the very last day of July, 31st through August 4th. August 3rd, excuse me. It'll be at Crackers Broad Ripple. Well, that'll be fun. And Nashville, August 21st and 22nd. Cool. So, yeah, see me in New York, you guys. See me in New York. Oh, and this just in, I believe. If you guys have been watching those storyteller shows on Comedy Central's YouTube page, if you haven't, fucking check them out. They're great. They came out great. The last week's was Julia Lillis. She told, I fucking love that story. I don't know who's this week. Tom Segura is still coming up. Joey Diaz is still coming up. Doug Benson is still coming up. And like an amazing story from John Huck is coming up. So it's every Tuesday they release them. So go to YouTube and just click in Ari Shaffir. I'm trying to think of the easiest way for you to remember. Ari Shaffir storytelling show. You could do that. But the show is called This Is Not Happening. So put that into YouTube and you'll see it all come up. All TJ Miller's is really good. That's already out. Sean Patton's is really good. So it's just fucking free, awesome stories. They're like 10-minute long stories. And they're really fucking sweet. It's just a comic being a comic, telling a cool story. It's like you're talking to him at a party and he was fucking talking to you, telling you some amazing thing. Man, I love this show. So anyway, so here's the news. We're going to do a second run of them. We're going to do one more run of them. And I'm trying to get Kreischer on. I'm trying to get Joe Rowe on. I'm trying to get a bunch of people on. But we're going to do it at Cheetah Strip Club again, that same place in West Hollywood. Not in West Hollywood, in Hollywood on Vine. I think we're going to do it on like the 13th of August. That's a tentative date. So if you want to fucking make a trip out there or make plans, it'll probably be free again. It was just a cool fucking taping. It's one of my favorite shows to do. And so if you're in LA, I think August 13th, save the date. I'm working around like Kreischer's schedule and a few other people's before we set it. But I think we're doing a second run. So if you like it and have supported it and have shared it with friends, and if you have listened to them, fucking share them on Facebook. Just post them to Facebook and stuff. Let all your friends see them and view them. Then maybe they'll put it on TV and you don't have to fucking remember to watch it. You just set your DVR. They shouldn't have DVRs for YouTube. They probably have something like that, right? I'm just being old. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. Here we go. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 121. Big Babies with Big J. Okerson. Is that good? Did we get to everything? I feel like I did. Yeah, I definitely didn't, but I don't remember what it was. So, all right, let's start the episode. 121, Big Babies, Jay Okerson. Okay, I did it once on morning television where, no, but I mean, like, I got nuts a little bit, you know? Like, I let myself get a little crazy. Not Tracy Morgan crazy, though.
He was also just in sweatpants.
He's just laughing it.
This makes the guys crazy uncomfortable.
I'm taking all the power back. They show his shows.
Yeah, and every time he comes back, it's something worse. That's the best part.
He takes his shirt off when he comes back from break.
He's dancing.
What the hell? He just keeps slapping his belly.
This is just a sample of what people can expect. More dancing, more shirtless.
Is that what he's like on stage?
Yeah.
He just takes his shirt off, just kind of goes nuts.
He's bizarre. He's just sitting on his leg. I gotta get wheelchair gloves. The guys ask some questions.
I'm gonna stop asking questions. Do Spoony Love. Do a little bit of Spoony Love. Can you do that for me? This is the character you do in Cranky Anchors. One of my favorites. Spoon. You might want to hold that up.
He's like, I can't. There's kids watching.
Yeah, you're right.
I get his children watching. But I did get this leg blown off from Vienna.
Well, apparently you have no problems taking your shirt off, so that's okay.
That's love. That's sex.
Well, don't take Saturday. Sex symbol.
Yeah, look at your physique. It's very impressive. Sex symbol. Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Holla at me. Come see me. I'm at the comic strip.
Look at that.
Not the comic strip, but the comic strip.
Is that the comic strip?
In Kansas.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
The Ucha.
He just sits on his leg and just says, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
I know he goes, I'm a Vietnam. He goes, I lost my leg in Vietnam. And then the guy's like, he goes, so, is this kind of stuff you can expect? He goes, I need to get them wheelchair gloves. Like, he just keeps talking. He has no. And by the way, even last
night. He already put himself in the place of being in a wheelchair. How can I make this cool?
Even last night, interacting with him, like, you know, it's like he does the same thing too. It's like he starts a conversation with you, and then you like want to say something too, and he's already moved to the next thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, look at this girl right here. And like, you're just like, I guess we're out of this conversation.
We're done with whatever we're talking about. Where did you meet him, Tracy Morgan?
Just like at the Floating Around Comedy.
Oh, really?
And then I worked with him at Caroline's once or twice. I'll tell you what's awesome about him, like why I really do like sing his praises as a dude. Like, he's wildly famous.
Yeah, he is.
A gazillionaire and pretty crazy. And all that being said, like, that dude just never, ever forgets me.
Really?
There's never, and now I don't think he should, yeah, because like I've seen him so many times now, but I'm saying...
Like, early on?
He just never, ever... And like I said, I saw him for the first... I haven't seen him probably in like 2-3 years or so. And I walked into Sirius Satellite one day, kind of recently, and he was walking out. And like they were literally, as he's walking out, they're doing the Stern like interview still. Like, there's, you know, the hallway interviews.
Yeah.
They're walking out interviewing him, and he, in the middle of the interview, he's like, oh, I love Howard. You know, Howard always a good dude to me, and he keep it real. Not Jay Boogie. And like, just like breaks in and comes over and like hugs me. And
really?
Like,
even out of context like that?
Yeah, it's really cool, man. Like, that's cool. That's like a, I mean, look, myself, like, I know one thing. I probably 8 times a month have to do one of those situations where the guy's like, oh, dude, and you're like, Jay, man, big fan of your stuff, and I always feel like that's a comedian, first and foremost, when someone says that. I'm a big fan of your stuff, and you're like, oh, cool.
And
it's always like, oh, man, it's like, thanks, man, nice to meet you. And he's always like, you don't remember, man, we met, like, you know, it's always like something, it's like, I opened for you at Mohegan Sun once.
It's the worst.
And you're
not
like,
being out of place, though.
All right. Like, I'm sorry. And you almost feel like a dickhead, but like.
Why would you tell somebody, no, we already met once? If they don't remember, you don't remember, you may as well, even if you both remember and don't want to say it, it's better than taking the chance of
it's also
putting him in a weird position.
It's also about it's also about the way you say that too. It's something about the way you say it.
What you remember me?
Because
they do it like
come
on, man.
There's something about that. If you don't remember, like
there's a nicer way to do it. Like no, and we actually met at someone else's party.
I also don't like the preemptive, like, well, I know you think I ain't shit, so. Here's a, you know, so yeah, there's no reason you should remember me because I'm a worthless idiot.
It's weird. Prostrating themselves ahead of time.
Oh, I'm just some young, shitty comic who's starting out, so I don't think you'd remember me. It's like, I don't know, dude. I guess if you made an impression, I would remember you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's really much what it is.
Maybe if you hadn't been so meek like you are now.
It really is. But I'm not saying I'm above, like, reminding someone that if we're meeting for someone, I'm like, oh, we actually met so-and-so. But I don't, there's something about the tone. I never make the tone feel like, hey, you're kind of an asshole for not remembering me. I just go, it's like, oh, we actually did, talk once or something, you know.
Yeah. I opened for you once in so-and-so. Yeah, I don't want to make them feel bad.
But you almost go, it's like, oh, I opened for you once in blah, blah, blah. And almost follow up immediately. It's like, oh, it was a fun time, man. Great shows, man.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Like,
why don't you remember me?
Yeah, it's such a weird, like, oh, you don't remember me at all?
Balls.
But hey, that's one thing about Tracy being that crazy.
He always did.
He just, like,
man, he's nuts. He came into the store for like a month once. And really, one by one, everyone was like, oh my gosh, Tracy Morgan. Same thing with Kramer started coming by there.
Right.
But then one by one, with Tracy Morgan, people were like, oh, he's nuts. I'll just stop talking to him. He's a crazy person.
Did Kramer start coming by because he was banned
Before he came in. He actually went to the store like the next night, and Brett Ernst said he talked to him, maybe even later that night, to do a spot in the main room. And Brett's like, hey, how you doing? He's like, I had some trouble with the Laugh Factory. Don't worry about it. It was like, hadn't broke yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it happened.
So I got to watch that again. I got to watch that clip again one day soon. Like, I almost want to see, because
I love watching.
I heard someone talking about it recently.
Yeah.
Recently. I think I was just talking. They were talking about it on a O&A or something. I heard Norton was interviewing Ricky Gervais, which was a pretty good interview, actually.
Really?
For me, I'm not a big Ricky Gervais guy.
Yeah. I like the First Office, but that's about it.
But he was a good interview. And they were mentioning something about, like, you know, they got into the conversation about the offensive rape culture bullshit, everything about the PC cops all over comics and shit. And it was just talking about, like, Kramer thing again, like, you know, it was like, but he described it almost in a way that I never fully got.
What is?
I don't know if I even really had an opinion on why he did it, Kramer. Like, but they were saying words like, no, his problem was that guy was making him mad and he let himself get angry and stop being a comedian and start being like an angry guy yelling the word nigger. But it's like,
Don't think it was that, though.
But
I disagree.
But from what I watched, I was like, but I also don't agree. I remember in the beginning I didn't agree. Everyone was going, all the excuses of like, well, you know, he's kind of free form.
guy. So he kind of, it's, you know, it's a stream of consciousness, and that's just kind of how I'm like.
No, your stream of consciousness and go to there.
I go, I'm kind of free form. Yeah. Stream of consciousness. I've never.
You're still aware of the words coming out of your mouth.
I'm just very aware that if it's a bunch of black people. By the way, I'm not saying I wouldn't make 5,000 black jokes around it.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, I pretty much know.
You hit it on the head.
Once you say, you don't drop the N-bomb.
You don't say it on the head.
You just lost the rest of the crowd.
God, porch monkey. There's other terms use that are usable.
That's a gift. That's a funnier word, but I don't even know if I'd go even with the actual direct name. Like, it's always better to, like. It almost attacked just like the culture. You know, if you're going to make jokes, like if you're going to go and start attacking black, you want to start doing like welfare. And
I thought he was just trying to be edgy. Whatever. That's really what I thought.
Do you really?
It was like, I thought he was going for like, isn't it funny how there's, because they were all yelling, and it's like, it's all about words. And if I say this, in his mind, that was like the worst thing to say. I say this, how, oh, look at how edgy, the nigger, just yelling out. I really thought he was like, and then it wasn't working, so I was like, maybe I got to hit it harder instead of just bailing completely.
I'm not popping my G's. I'm not popping my G's on this nigger.
God.
Maybe that's what it was, too. Maybe he was really just, like, trying to be, like, funny and trying to get him on a set or trying to be, like, provocative or whatever. But, like...
Yeah, I got to watch that again, too.
I just don't remember exactly... I don't remember exactly how it went, but I remember right away having that feeling, though, where I was just like, I don't know what... It's almost inexplicable because at that level of fame...
Yeah.
There's just... An eighth of a second's thought would let you know. It's like, all right, in a position to not be ever able to say that word publicly. It's never going to happen. Anything, he can't pull that word off.
No, never. Can't even talk about it, really. Not now.
You can't even say that somebody else said it and use the word. He's, for the rest of his life, when you make a certain amount of money in a certain way, you're then relegated to the... You're like, okay, the rest of my life I'm saying the N-word.
Yeah.
Like, I will never again...
Don't even say the N-word. It's like, off for you. It's off limits for you.
It's only
too much trouble.
It's only going to be... You're always going to have to always describe it as
the
N-word.
That was what was amazing about Michael Jackson continuing to bring over kids to his house. He knew he'd always be known as a molester, and he continued to have sleepovers with children.
Yeah, did you hear that? You know what? That guy, I love as the mystery unfolds on Michael Jackson. But I remember having a weird feeling the other day listening to speaking of another fucking public weirdo, Stern interviewed Scott Thorson. Who that is? Uh-huh. Booper? Liberace's...
Oh, yeah.
The Matt Damon played him in that movie. Did you watch the movie at all?
I watched some of it at Baldwin's house.
It got kind of shitty.
It got shitty?
It just wasn't that great. I thought I sort of enjoyed it, and then I was like, it's kind of stupid. But like,
man, Matt Damon's a good actor, though.
He's great. Oh, no, the performances were great. The story just kind of was like, what, did you just show us like a couple days in the life of these guys? Like, I didn't think there was any kind of crux of a story that built up at all. Like, didn't really learn anything from it about Liberace that I didn't already know.
Yeah.
With a limited knowledge of Liberace that I have. But Scott Thorson, the actual guy, apparently, I almost want to read up on this guy, or maybe even read his book, which is... pretty big thing for me to say.
He just like money grab for the
but that guy? But that movie is his Liberace story. This motherfucker just weaved himself into this world of all this. He's involved in so much weird shit. So he says on Stern, his big reveal was he had a 6-year relationship with Michael Jackson, and like they never fucked, but like it was always like blowjobs.
Really?
Said Michael Jackson had a small dick, like didn't have a big dick at all.
How old was he when they said it happened?
He said it was like the Thriller time. He said he was in the recording studio with him.
How old is Scott Thorson?
Oh, I guess in his 20s.
Okay.
Probably. Oh, yeah, no, it was an adult. It was like two adults thing.
Yeah.
But he said it was back when Michael Jackson was like, you know, black and like a good looking, you know, Thriller. The Thriller. Yeah. When I wanted to look like Michael Jackson. When I was a kid, I thought Michael Jackson was awesome looking.
Yeah.
Like, awesome looking. Like, the way he looked in like the Beat and Throw video, you're like, this guy looks awesome. I wish I could look like this guy. And then it just went so ick so quick.
Yeah.
But Scott Thorson...
So he scarfed with them, fuzzed him. So then he wasn't fucking kids?
They weren't fucking.
Oh, they were just doing blowjobs.
He does say that, like...
Oh, well, yeah.
Scott Thorson does have a... He did say flat out, though, that he doesn't think... He said he didn't know, obviously, but he goes, he's not like... He wasn't like a kid, child molester at all.
Right.
Like, he said, like, goes, but we were, like, together for 6 years. Said he was, like, a... Like, generous in bed. Like, he would answer certain questions. It was great because Stern's great because he jumps right into, like, he goes, did you finger his asshole? The guy was also, Scott Thorson was also star witness in the Wonderland murders. You know, they made that movie about the Wonderland, the John Holmes, whatever. Like,
how did he get into that?
He just being some gay cokehead. Just
in?
Fucking, like, you end up in this weird shit, man, I guess. But what a scene. Like, that guy's lived some fucking life. But he said, like, with Michael Jackson.
Done nothing.
Nothing but be like a fucking. And by the way, he didn't even get fucked that much. Like, he fucked dudes. Like, he fucked Liberace. Liberace never fucked him.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, at least from, like, the movie and what he says. But, like Bloom and shit. But, like, he said he was the one who, like, would fucking. He fucked. But Michael Jackson, he said it was all blowjobs. But he said, like, Michael Jackson, he was talking about, like, having dinners with, like royalty in other countries.
Really?
Like, going with Michael Jackson to sit down. And this guy. And wow. He recently just got out of jail for, like, credit card fraud.
Really?
Like, he's just a real lifetime low life.
Hard. Yeah. It's like he's going to keep living that lifestyle until he's broke, I'm sure.
But he just, like, caught it. Like, he, you know, and again, it's like some weird, you know, he's a product of, like, I guess the foster care system.
Yeah.
That guy. But, like, he really, like the Liberace thing, like, he was literally, but this guy, kid, goes from, like, being, like, some fucking foster kid to, like, being Liberace's, like, fucking chick, essentially. Almost. Oh, not right a second. We can light it a little bit.
Yeah.
He was like Liberace's chick for a while, and then just to go, you know, he got the fucking weird face surgery, became like a major.
To look like
Liberace,
him.
Yeah.
And then he fucked Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I guess it was,
Do you think he told
Michael
Jackson what was possible?
What?
Do you think he told Michael Jackson what was possible with face surgery?
Oh, wait. I'm fucking kind of blowing this here. I should have said this. I forgot about this. He goes. And they were all, like, together. Like, Liberace and Scott Thorson and Michael Jackson all, like, knew each other, I guess. I don't know what the timeline is in them fucking or being together. I don't know if it was after Liberace. I guess it was, like, totally after Liberace, but maybe during. I don't really remember. His book, I'm sure, will say that. But, like, it was that he said, like, at one point, like, he got, like, the face surgery to look like so-and-so. He goes, but Liberace was, like, it was one of those, like, I'll treat for fucking surgeries day. And he said at one point it was hilarious. He was like, it was in the Rolls Royce, like Liberace, Michael Jackson, and Scott Thorson. They all had their faces like totally bandaged. But he goes, Michael Jackson got the nose job, like the really sharp nose job with them. He goes, and then he got, and Scott Thorson's a pretty forthcoming guy. I guess he has nothing to lose. He's just like a bum, you know what I mean? Like, if he's got money.
So what
even.
Say?
He said that Michael, that's when Michael Jackson like got the addiction to like plastic surgery and shit like that.
But he nose job,
but does claim that the skin is a disease. It's funny when someone gets, isn't it weird, almost on a side tangent, isn't it weird like when, if someone's like very blunt about like truth, and then they like say something that's almost like doesn't even make sense after that, that like you're so likely to believe the thing doesn't make sense, the second thing, because like the first
one was
so
honest.
It's like, why would he fucking say he sucked my, I guess sucking Michael Jackson's dick is wrong, but why would he, because it's almost like his truth came through like in his denial of certain things, you know what I mean? He was like, so you were together with Michael Jackson 6 years, and he'd be like, and you would like, you guys fucked each other, like you fucked him in the ass, and he said, like, he's like, no, and just because he says no, you're almost like, it almost gives credibility to the next thing he says yes to. So he goes, no, we never fucked in the ass. But then if he goes, like, Michael Jackson used to put fists up my ass, or he wanted fists up his ass,
that
you'd be like, I believe that because he said they never fucked, you know what I mean? Like, there's some weirdness to that,
I have this theory that when you're famous, you can't see how crazy people are. Same thing with Flavor Flav.
Do you think it depends how fast you get famous, though?
What do you mean?
Like someone like Louis C.K. can probably spot crazy because, like, it took him, like, you know, a while to get himself, to the level. Oh, you're talking about yourself.
You can't see. When Flavor Flav had that clock, he's a crazy old man now.
Oh,
But back then, we were like, no, he's an artist, he's in this rap group. It's like, no, he was just a crazy. He was an uneducated moron then, too.
Oh, yeah.
He just had a clock around his neck.
The people who've been, like, fucking.
And it's like, we just didn't know it.
The people who've been, like, forged, like, forward. And been, yeah, you realize, it's like, how crazy.
You just look until later.
Just when you see someone that's, like. But even someone who gets, like, so famous. When you hear these stories. It's funny, because, like, when you're not famous, you get a chance to kind of, like, evolve into an adult and have some kind of ideals and shit. And, like, and just, like, you know, your values of what's important, what's not important. So you get somebody, like. Like, acts like a Guns N' Roses is such a good example of that story to me because, like, they came out of fucking nowhere and it was the biggest rock album of all time. Appetite for Destruction. It just comes out of nowhere. It's their best album ever. They've never been able to slightly duplicate the Appetite for Destruction.
Oh, okay.
The original. Just Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine, all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like an album that was like almost flawless. Every song was good.
Yeah.
That was my first album I ever bought. That I've ever bought, where I listen to every single song.
Really?
Yeah, just every song. And they still, most of them hold up.
Dookie was the closest one to that I remember, but.
Green Day?
Yeah, but yeah, Welcome to the Jungle. But yeah, what else is on there?
Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine, Paradise City.
Sweet Child of Mine is so good.
Yeah, Paradise City. I mean, yeah. Rocket Queen, My Michelle, the whole It's So Easy is a great fucking tune. Just like hit after hit, like all,
yeah,
they were all hits. Almost every song on the album became
so what?
A hit.
So then he hits real quick. So what?
So they hit fucking real quick, and you go from being like these dudes who were just like burnouts that fucking someone was like, "You're a pretty good band, like let's go fucking make an album." That I mean, it
and they're still just burnouts. You're saying,
but it's just like at the core of it, they're just burnouts. It's that they're right. They just never evolved into an adult, so they get right. in these things like now. So as long as you know the thing I've always heard the story was of like the. I believe it's like on Slash interviews and stuff that like the problem with the breakup of the band was like they were all fucking fucked up. They kicked out the original drummer for being too fucked up, which is like insane how fucked up they all were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They bring in the fucking new drummer and they're all just fucking having a great time being fucking hammered. And Axl Rose starts being like this celebrity like dude now. He becomes a holdout on saying like, I won't move forward with this shit. I want to own the name Guns N' Roses.
Oh.
Me personally.
Just I don't a think moron.
I don't think he got the publishing or anything.
Just a moron? Just like an idiot construction worker or something?
Yeah. He goes, so here's the thing. So the band just goes, whatever, bro. We're partying. Yeah. Here. You own Guns N' Roses, the name. Just the name. Not the publishing, right? Like, if they just wrote songs, they'll make money off it forever.
Okay.
So they weren't that retarded, but like they did sign over the name. That's why you'll have a band with three members of Guns N' Roses. Yeah. Velvet Revolver, that's called Velvet Revolver, and Axl Rose goes out with four dudes, and it's Guns N' Roses.
Because he owns the name.
He owns the name.
That's like when we saw...
And Guns N' Roses sells more tickets as a name than three members band. In... because you want to hear Guns N' Roses songs.
Yeah.
And you and at the end of the day, the really important component is that it's Axl Rose singing them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's cool moments.
It's a lot easier to replace a fucking drummer or a guitar.
Even Slash, dude. Even Slash, who's like that famous, but you get an album like that. So, but you know, so they get to this point where they sign over the thing, and then he just like starts. It's all this like infighting and weird bickering, and they fucking break up after essentially the Use Your Illusion albums.
Yeah,
it was amazing. They did Appetite for Destruction, then they released an album of like an old album.
Oh, really?
Like it was like before the main one.
Released it. Said fuck
called
it.
Lies. Yeah, GNR Lies.
Oh yeah,
that's got like Patience on it. Remember the wee whistles in the beginning?
Oh yeah,
All We Need Is a Little Patience. That's on GNR Lies.
Patience. Yeah.
And then
wow, that was a big hit.
Huge hit off of just and they it was just didn't some old hit shit.
First, so it wasn't about like it wasn't that we weren't good before.
No, they were just
it was just not known.
Just not known, but so such a short amount of time not being known. They made this album, and then they got a record deal, like a real record deal, and they basically then the record label just put out their like whatever, not demo, but whatever it was, you know.
Yeah,
because there's some rudimentary like versions of the songs on Appetite for Destruction, like one or two songs like are duplicated, but like they sound different because it was before it was produced.
Oh.
And but anyway, they did that, and then the Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, and then they did a cover album, and that was it. Like, it was over. Like,
and they just talked about their comeback.
But here's the thing. So here's almost my point about this. So the arguing over this thing, at the end of the day, even the burnout fuck-up who got kicked out of the band after that first album, Steve Adler, who's like the star of all these fucking celebrity rehabs, he's the main guy. I think he's sober now. Even he's fucking got a chunk of money, man, because the publishing, because he's part owner of Welcome to the Jungle.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like...
So the more that he's playing...
So he's got money.
He just can't tour off the name.
No, he's not... No, he tours and does, like, plays... Here's the thing. My point is, like, he's not destitute at all. I'm not saying he's a gazillionaire.
Oh, but you're saying that dude that dated Liberace.
I'm saying, like, he's got money. They've all got fucking money. So no one's really fucked over in Guns N' Roses. Even the guy who got kicked out immediately is no one's fucked over at all. And it's been years now, and all this shit's passed, and everyone, the story's been made so public about why they broke up to the point where everyone's kind of like, what a retarded reason to fucking, like, not ever get back together. Like and this hearing over and over, like, the amount of money you'd make if you would just get back together and go on fucking tour. By the way, not get together and fucking break bricks and build a fucking house.
Just go on the road.
Just go fucking get pussy if you want or not, or you could bring, at this point you're so wealthy, fly you can't bring your family, but you could bring your family.
Yeah.
You could do all, if you want, you know, if you're a family dude who's into that, like you could bring your whole family with you. If you're a dude who wants to get pussy again, you're going to go on tour. If you want to do whatever, you know what I mean? Like, just whatever it may be, there's ways to make that fucking an awesome situation.
So what is it over? Just him taking the name?
Yeah. They're all fucking, and it's like still bickery and all this shit. And these guys now are 40 some years old. So I'm saying about that drop off in evolution. happens like, and I it's like now, it's like even 45-year-old adults, they just got inducted 2 years ago to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Axl Rose just didn't go.
Oh.
He's the only one. Even the guy that kicked out immediately, Steven Adler, came and played drums on the thing. And they had to have another guy. When they did their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance.
Why didn't he go?
They had to have a fill-in lead singer.
Why didn't he go?
He just hates them, he says. And he's the one who kind of dicked them over. But you know what I'm saying? This is 40-something-year-old guys.
Yeah.
So do you get the point I'm making about, like, it's like you just don't evolve in some
right,
way.
Right.
So it's I feel that in myself, man, in so many ways, dude. And I really do. Like, what, I had no adult life before doing comedy. So doing comedy at 19.
Yeah.
And no adult life. So the point is, like, still to this day, I'm a little reliant. The things that give me anxiety, like even on a small level, and oddly give me a sense of accomplishment when I handle it, is things like remembering to pay a bill and paying it.
Oh yeah, I'm a trouble.
But I also don't handle a lot of it either. I handle a few, but a lot of times my handling becomes like I go home and DirecTV is off because which isn't like a thing. I mean, I'm not like destitute.
Isn't that what you did with the flood?
But what? They waited a little too long.
Is that what it was? Where you're just like, I'll get it. I'll get it eventually. I'll move the stuff upstairs.
No, I wasn't even planning to move. I was going to fight the... It was 6 inches of water on the hurricane before that.
Oh.
And they projected, like, you know, the world was going to end on Hurricane Irene.
So you were like,
6 inches of water. I was like, I'm staying for 6 inches of water. I'll fight 6 inches of water.
Right.
And the stuff that got nailed in that 6 inches of water was pretty much still the base of the belongings.
Yeah.
If it makes sense, so it was almost like if 6 inches of water comes in again, like...
Same shit.
That's just already fucked up anyway.
Right.
like that particular, but I mean, I'm talking, you know, I'm talking about whatever 10 boxes and whatever that gets fucked up.
But you
and,
don't pay bills like, on time, you just wait till they're fucking.
No, you know what? To be fair in that statement, I'm about to say no, not at all. But like, no, it's like technically.
I do that.
Yeah, but technically I don't handle it. Like I have a wife, so she handles. In essence, the thing is, like, I kind of provide money and the bills kind of get handled. So. No, I'm still actually not. If I lived on my own, like tomorrow, if all hell fell apart tomorrow and I was living on my own situation, like, I'd go through massive anxiety. Not like, I don't know, crippling.
Would you live like the way I live?
I don't know. I'm not fully certain.
You saw my apartment in LA, right?
No, dude. My shit would be meticulous, for sure. I'm that weird, dude. But it wouldn't be that. My place would be meticulous, but I'm almost like.
You're weird with squishy food, too.
I'm anxious about. The idea of going like, okay, wait, so I gotta buy furniture. I have to like, all right, I gotta call the cable place and have them come out and install cable.
Yeah,
like I'm that. Yeah, those things will concern me. Not that it's like, here's my list of things I have to do.
Oh,
like I'm anxious by like this is being. I think very much it's a flaw, and it was starting something so young. Even the idea where it's like I have to do any kind of like real work, like. For whatever reason, and by the way, you know, love me or hate me, comedy's subjective. I'm sure some people think I'm a shitty comic, and that's fine. But, like, whatever it is that I do that the people that like me do like, I find to be extraordinarily easy. Does that make sense? Like, it's really, really easy.
To do what?
Comedy, I think. Like, yeah. But I think it's
yeah,
like,
people say, isn't that hard? You're like, I guess.
It's like an ingrown skill in
but
me for some reason.
But you've dropped everything else out, so you can do that.
But,
it's like
yeah.
Einstein with the same suit every day.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a thing where it's like,
15 minutes.
Damn. I've done, what did you say?
Judah's going up now, I got 15 minutes.
Okay. It's fucking, I find it very, so it's like there's a weird like laziness to me on even things. So it's like when I get like, so, I mean, I hate when I hear from a gig like, you get yourself out. You book your flight.
Oh yeah,
and we'll reimburse. I'm like,
the last
I'm like, I'm going to blow this, dude.
Oh,
like, I'm going
the last
to blow
minute,
this.
Always paying more. Well, I'm hundreds of dollars
for nothing
because they're like, oh, have you made your flight for that yet? Like, oh,
don't you hate when you get a ridiculous? Don't you hate when you get a solid number like $450 travel stipend,
uh-huh.
and you're still taking like a fucking $300
because
you're buying a $700 ticket because at that point you're like, well, really, I guess I'm only paying $300 for it because they're giving me $400.
That was you with Rockin' the Range when you're like, I got my ticket out there, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll be on the same flight with you. But then I was like, oh, I waited, and then it was a lot more.
Yeah,
it was costing way more. Why is everything? Ah,
but again, I didn't hate that. But
SAG never charges you late fees.
But again, that was booked,
never
that
paid
was,
on time.
That was booked for me. Oh, yeah, that also Rock on the Range was booked for me. Nice. Yeah, so it's like, okay, I didn't handle that personally. So, if
we need to get rich enough to get assistance.
Yeah, really. But no, but isn't there something? But do you not even have?
Dude, I can't pay bills. I just have stacks of stuff.
But do you not even give a shit?
No.
That's what I was gonna say. Are you
my agent, Desiree? My agent, yeah, assistant or whatever, agent in training, whatever you call her. She, she was like, hey, I'll send you that thing, and it'll be there any second. You know, I'm so sorry it's late. I'm like, all right, it'll stay in my stack of unopened mail. I'll get it in like 40 days when I go through half of it. And she was like, I wish I could just have $1,000 in checks just sitting around and not cashing them. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Put in eventually.
That's a good. Well, that's funny. I'd be finding thousands of dollars of checks if I had them. I do look in the mail for money when it's coming.
I found an old check from Rogan.
Yeah,
$920 for a reimbursement because they like billed me for the hotel one day or something.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, it was from 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh motherfucker, when I moved, it was like behind a.
Is that a thousand bucks
almost?
Is that past the time? Of...
Yeah, 3 years. You got 6 months.
Oh,
and
really?
I asked his manager, like, is there any way they can? She was like, come on, yeah, try to cash it. So I did, and they were like, no fucking way. But then she looked into it. And she goes, oh, you already reported that lost. Like 3 years ago, and they cut you a new check. You just forgot about it.
That's hilarious.
I'm like, I worked out.
Oh, I've seen shit like that. I did a thing. I've always saved this fucking check. I got fucked over by a club owner and D. Lee. I'll always say that motherfucker's name.
Who is it?
D. Lee. He owned the Laugh House Comedy Club, the black club I started at in Philly.
Yeah.
And he fucking started another club in St. Louis, and he was a dirtball. He's a dirtball of a dude. I mean, apparently, allegedly. It ended at the Laugh House. Like, they finally had him trying to steal the safe or something. Like,
the whole safe.
Or, yeah, just doing some funky shit like that.
Still in comedy?
So, after that, he opened up a club in St. Louis. And I went out and did it the first time. And there was even a little shiftiness there. Like, it was, I'll pay you. I'll give you a check, but don't cash. One of those don't cash it till whatever gigs.
Yeah.
And I didn't cash it till then, but it worked. When I cashed it, it went through. I went out there a second time, man. And I essentially paid whatever my flight, and I was going to get reimbursed for also. I paid whatever my flight was to go perform 5 shows.
For free.
And, I mean, unreal what he did.
Pay you at all.
No, he handed me a fucking check and gave me a don't cash until Wednesday again. And I was like, all right, whatever. And then I got a, hey, don't cash that one at all because someone stole my checkbook. Yeah, he goes, I'll send you a new one. And then cut to about 6-7 months later, a phone calls. I called him one time. I mean, I'm furious at this point, and I'm arguing with him on the phone a bunch. He's like, "Yo, I'm gonna send it, dude." And at one point, I call and he goes, "Yo, Jay," or he texts me back something. He's like, "Yo, Jay." No, it was on the phone. He goes, "Jay, you know what, man? You're coming to me right now about this shit." He goes, "It's a different time." And he goes, "I just had a tragedy in my family. My sister just died." And I'm like,
"Drama queens," and I was pulling that dude.
And I'm like, "Yes." And I went, my initial reaction, again, you know, a couple years ago, so I'm a little younger. The time and I go, but it's only last for a second. I go, oh, dude, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. All right, like, but give me a call back when you get a chance. I'm sorry to hear about your loss. And then I hung up. And then it wasn't a minute passed before I called back. And I go, you know what, D? I just realized something. He goes, that has your fucking sister's talk has nothing to do with the fact that you haven't paid me my money. It's unbelievable that you do. That's actually really disrespectful to your sister.
Yeah,
if you're being honest,
like, oh, cool. At least I have an excuse.
Like, if you're even being honest about this and not making up something horrible like that, then it's that's unreal that you. If that's real, that's unreal. That you use that as an excuse for why you haven't paid me my money. Never.
He still didn't pay you.
But it turns out I wasn't the only person he did that to, and he literally went off the grid.
Wow.
Club closed down. Not on Facebook anymore. Not on Twitter in any kind of way. Doesn't perform comedy anymore. It would appear.
He's like, this business, this industry is closed.
Yeah, I think he moved to Orlando and just like fucking went off the fucking grid, man. Unreal.
Instead of comedy.
What a weird. But here's the thing. So the long story short about that was, for a long time, folded up very thinly, I just always kept that check in my wallet. I was always like, is this going to come up at some point in court if I ever want to sue him or something?
Uh-huh.
I need to have this check available. And then so many times it would clean out my wallet. I hated that feeling. It's the reverse feeling of like when your alarm goes off and you realize it's Saturday when you were a kid.
Yeah.
The exact reverse feeling of that when you open up a check and you're like, I forgot to cash a $1,500 check. No, I'm sorry. I forgot to cash a $2,500 check. It was $2,500. Oh. And I go, oh yeah, like it's a bad check. But that's such a fucking bummer, man.
I never had somebody bounce me a check. Or they did once and they paid me.
I had one recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Balls. Why? Did they pay you again?
Yeah, it was a bit of an ordeal. I believe very much, very, very much, I believe this chick. She seemed like fucking.
Yeah, but this is the way Diaz
she seems,
said it.
She seems to be a pretty square business. It seemed like it was a mistake in the banking somewhere because she responded right away. She did everything she could to get it handled.
See, that's what he said. Diaz said, okay, you bounce me a check. That's your last strike. You better overnight me a check immediately. Say, yeah, I'm so sorry. Let me get you a check right now.
And my fees involved.
Yeah, instead of like waiting. Yeah, and get that taken care of. Instead of waiting for weeks and having to call again.
Dude, having the hunt for fucking money is just the worst.
I've never had to do that.
Oh, you done black shows, dude. This black show, I'm just going to fist fight with time. And it was only because Kevin Keith were making fun of me so much.
Yeah.
But I would do the show. I'd go to a show in Chester. Javon Pearson was the host of that show. And I used to... Real black show.
Yeah.
But he would offer to pay me like $100 or something like that. And I was like, oh, yeah. And this is where I was driving to New York with Keith and Kev. Like every day.
Yeah.
So it would be noticeable. I'm like, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to go do this show. And they'd be like, whatever. So I go do this black show.
Kevin Hart?
I do well at this show. This really fucking shitty show. I do well. And at the end of the show, he goes, I don't have the money to pay you. He goes, come back next week and I'll do it again. I'll give you $200 next week. And I'm like, okay. And it's like young in comedy where like $100, man, is fucking huge.
Oh, yeah. That mattered.
Huge. And, so I'm like, all right. Well, in my mind, he gets me on the hook of like, oh, well, I'll get $200. I now have $200 in my pocket. That's going to be enormous.
Okay.
I go back next week, do the show. It goes weirdly well again. I don't have the money. Come back again. And I was like, going back. And I was like, all right, dude. I go, Javon, you know, at this point, though, I am starting to give it. Come on, man. You're like, he's like, yeah, I swear to God, it's really shitty of me to. And I'm too young to even realize the fucking game's being run on me. I just feel like... I realize that I'm being dicked over. Yeah. And I realize that I'm probably being fucked over.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? But, like, there's still a thing in me that doesn't realize, like, how diabolical it is.
Yeah, how
I feel like at the end of the night... I feel like it was more... I took the sentiment to be more like... I'm seeing how much money we make at the door. And if we make enough, I'll say that here's your money I told you. Yeah. If I don't make enough at the door, I'm going to... So I thought it was maybe some fucking over like that.
Right.
But it was just so much more diabolical. It was so planned out because so the next week I said I'm doing that gig and Keith and Kev now are making fun of me so much for going back and over and I'm not getting paid. And I'm sitting at Kev's house and we're playing Madden and he gets a phone call from Javon Pierce. He goes, yo, come do my show in Chester tonight. And Kev already knows my story, so he goes, nah, I don't want to come out and do it, man. He goes, I heard like you'd be fucking around with the money and shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I heard you were fucking around with the money.
Wow. That's what he should say.
Yeah. He goes, Javon goes, no, I got you, man. Definitely, I'll pay. He goes, no, you got some people. He goes, you have, like, Michael Black. He starts naming these names that he's definitely going to have to pay.
Yeah.
In the black scene. That he's like, you know, you're already paying so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so to come back. You're not going to have the money for me, man. He goes, Kev, I got you, man. Come down and do the show. He goes, worst comes to worst, I won't pay Big J. And he doesn't realize, I don't know, so I have no idea how he doesn't realize me and Kev are that tight. Like, he literally would only know me and Kev as being together. Like, we and Kev,
wow.
Like me and Kev drove together everywhere, every night. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That made me furious. So I went there that night, and I didn't even go on stage, and I fucking flat out threatened him. And he was like a fucking, not a scary black dude at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this dude ultimately went to jail for like fucking trying to fuck or trying to get sucked his dick by like his fucking, it's like a really gross story. It's something like his 12-year-old like girl niece or something like that. Like he went to jail for this for a while. I don't want to, I'll say allegedly on all that because, but it's something like that, man. It's some real like, Even I heard recently the official like, oh fuck, it's even worse than I thought, cause it was like a relative or something like that. You know what I mean?
Oh
yeah, it was something like that, man. It was some funky shit. He's not a guy that's like physically like, I feel like I could have beat the shit out of Javon Pearson. But this motherfucker had bodyguards.
What'd you do?
This guy had bodyguards.
Then?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just, you know, his own like security guy.
So what'd you do? How'd you get your money?
So I went there and I'm threatening him and I'm going out there and now he calls for his fucking bodyguard to come out. And he goes, Jerome, he goes, get this motherfucker out of here. Now, here's the lucky part of me. I've been coming here now for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
I've been bullshitting with Jerome. Jerome and me are good people. Cool. We're cool. So before Jerome starts just attacking me, which Jerome was fucking huge, Jerome goes, what's going on, man? He goes, what's wrong? He goes, Jay, what's up? He's like, what's going on? Like, so he's going to give me more of like the benefit of like the, like, you want me to fucking beat up Jay?
He was cool.
He's like,
ago.
Me and Jay, Jay's been killing on these shows. Like, he doesn't know no better, you know? which is probably my saving grace. And Jerome's literally hiding behind a car. And he goes, whoop his ass, Jerome. And it's like, what my... I go, Jerome, listen, he's told me every week to come back and get this fucking... I, which is kind of even cheese dick and nervous white of me to explain case.
Well, it's the bodyguard.
But you're like, dude, this
you
guy's...
power.
But I'm saying, this guy's offering, told me money, you should begin $300 tonight, man.
Yeah.
Because the last time he called me, he goes, come back, you don't even have to perform. I'll just give you the money. I was like, all right. So, and, you know, now I realize I'm getting fucked over. And man, where I said he's hiding behind a car, and I remember the Jerome. I said to Jerome, I was like, something like, it sounds too movie-esque, but it was something along the lines of, like, Jerome, if you're going to come at me, dude, like, I'm going to go full fucking force at him. Like, I'm going to get him, too. Like, you're not going to stop me from getting him. You know what I mean? Like, I go, so I came to get my money, man. Like, we're going to, and fucking... Jerome just goes, Javon, why don't you just give him the money, man? Like, just and Javon pulled out $300 bills, held it out like all fucking cuntily, and I fucking swiped it. As I'm walking away, man, talk about a time that I wanted to fucking yell the word nigger for sure. I mean, it was so, man, he was such a shitty guy. He goes, as I'm walking away, he goes, I'm going to end your career in first of all, he's like a weird number, like 10 phone calls. Like, that's a lot of phone. Usually people
that's
say,
a lot,
but first of all, you're making that bullshit claim. It's usually one phone call. Goes, I'm going to end your career, nigga, in 10 phone calls. And I'm like, have a ball. Like, it ruined my career in the realm of comedy shows that will fucking not pay people. I mean, I had so many of those.
Yeah. So what'd you say?
Nothing. I literally got my car.
But you got your money,
happy.
Though.
I got my money.
Good for you, man.
But I've gotten beat up and not gotten my money before.
Hey, I got to go on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's finish this. When we both get off.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're at the Stand, everybody. One of the best clubs in New York.
Quickly becoming, right?
Yeah. Great food, too. Where's the goddamn stop button?
I hit my mom. The cops came. I don't know if anybody hit anybody or not. I don't really know. But I know he was made to leave.
Oh wow!
And I remember kind of taking off. But yeah, like I said before, I feel sometimes like I paint a shit picture where I'm kind of like, fucking guy never showed up to pick me up or anything like that. Because like it's not that he never did. Like I did go to his house on weekends, every other weekend. But like it's just a matter of like how much he fucked that up though. I was supposed to go every other weekend to his house.
Yeah,
but it was literally probably like once a month more likely. Like a lot of times, and the thing is, he just wouldn't show up and wouldn't call. I don't know. He just wouldn't. He just wouldn't show up sometimes. Then the next day he'd call and be like, "Oh, I forgot it was this week." And like,
that's the kind of father I'd be.
So
I'm almost positive I'd be forgetful, and I would like really, if they pressed me on it, I'd be like, "Yeah, I got better things to do." If you're really gonna push me on this,
no, but I'd say like it's funny, like
so they chased him out of there.
They basically made him leave. But he was just kind of shitty. Like he just like never like. Once he got, like, he moved to Ohio when I was, like, 11.
Yeah.
Once he did that, I think it was a little bit just kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, so, and again, it's weird as an adult, like, I almost forgive it. I really almost forgive it. I think a part of me kind of gets it, and I sort of forgive it. The thing is just, like, now what's funny about my dad is, like, when he comes to Toledo, Ohio, like, he's very, like, this is great, man. I really wish we could, like, hang like this more and blah, blah, blah. And it's a good time. Like, I really love seeing you, man. Just spending some... And he came, like, early in the day and tries to hang out all day. Yeah. And, like, he's like, man, if I didn't have to run back, I would love to spend the night and stuff like this. And, like, I'm kind of going, like, the reality is, like, it's not that I don't... he's a charming guy. He's, like, fun enough.
Yeah.
Especially if I see him, like, you know, once every, like, year or two.
But what?
The time I see him, that he shows up. But it's just, like, I think it's, like, if I think of a like, long-term hang. Because, like, in a short term, it's almost like, hey, I know you didn't watch me on Louis and Schumer's thing. And then it's to his, you know, defense, I don't tell him, really. You know what I mean? But then he says, like, hey, here's my sketch on Schumer, and here's me on Louis.
Oh, really?
And that's so nice. That kills time.
But...
And it gets through the day, and then he comes.
Do you have anything in common with him at all? Do you feel like you're connected with him in any way?
No.
You just feel like some guy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Almost like sort of. But there was a time, but it changed like at a fucking absolute time. I don't remember what it was. Because I remember there was a time when I thought my dad was the shit. Like as a teenager. Even as an older teenager, I remember being like, oh, it's so cool to go visit my dad. My dad just... Because like, it's funny, like, I remember him being kind of a cool dad in the sense of like... Whenever the time was like Dr. Dre's The Chronic came out,
yeah,
like my dad would be like joking and he'd make jokes like you joke to that song, you know what I mean? He's like, Death Row is labeled that pays. He was doing it to be goofy and silly. But no, but he was doing it. He wasn't like, he didn't like it. He went like,
but he knew it.
But he just knew that song. I'm just kind of like laughing. He was like laugh and joke about the song.
Yeah,
and
cool.
He was like also like when I was a kid, he was into like, I got into Pink Floyd because I knew my dad liked Pink Floyd and like David Bowie because my dad liked David Bowie. Did you just fall in love?
No. How old is she?
I don't know. She looked like crazy young.
Yeah,
12?
She did, but she looked like she was like adult but had the young face.
Like that progeria disease?
Yeah, but the opposite way.
She says the Island of Dr. Moreau thing?
She looked like a weathered 14-year-old.
Yeah. Time's been tough.
Yeah. She's cute, too. She has a small body.
Yeah, I just saw her from the back, and she looked all teeny.
Yeah.
Maybe she just vanished. She just disappears as we're watching her.
Papa
did anybody else see that? Was that girl there?
I'm going to start doing a lot more podcasts outside here.
It's great.
Yeah.
My, yeah, so... No, yeah, I do kind of get it. I forget, but now it's the weird... The same thing, too. It's like, I have a... I've had guilt about it, and then I kind of, like, got over the guilt about it. Like, I have two brothers. He has two sons.
Yeah.
That are technically my brothers, you know? I just don't know him at all. And he says things I feel bad. He'll be like...
But why should you feel bad? It's not... It's
no, like, no. When he goes, he'll be like, oh, your brothers are going to come with me, but blah, blah, blah. He's like, but they, you know, they, one's got to do this. And I'm like, I'm happy you didn't bring them. Like, I have nothing to talk to them about.
No, you don't know them at all.
It made it crazy uncomfortable all day. You're like, almost like, I kind of barely know you.
Yeah.
And we're getting through it because I know you. But like...
My brother pulled away from my family for a while.
Just pulled away?
Yeah, well, he lived in Zurich, and then like, it was just like, he got in some trouble with like the law and stuff, and it was just dropped out of school. But he just sort of stopped returning people's calls and like whatever for like 5-6 years, and then he got married and wanted, and they had a kid, and he's like, hey, come. It's like that's only they call and they're like, how are you, how you been? But it's like, I don't know, I just sort of stopped thinking about you.
There's a thing I'm telling you, where I say I kind of get it is because like I don't call my mom a ton.
Yeah, me neither.
I love my mom, but like I just, there's a thing, like I really am like maybe it is like a self-centered thing or something, but like I'm very like in my own immediate
independent
world. I'm just very much in my own immediate nice world. Like I kind of know what's around. Like there's no way to put it other than it's like I think about Luis Gomez more than I think about like my mom on a daily basis because I'm more involved with Luis Gomez, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's around more day to day,
right? I mean, I obviously love my mother. My mom's like a,
but Luis is nice too.
Yeah, but Luis is my, Luis, he'll be my mom.
Luis is my homeboy. When Jesus could never be.
But coming from a family, though, my point being, like that, like, it wasn't like I saw, like, I didn't see a time. I was like, oh, shit, it's the beginning of April. There goes my mom and stepdad, like, at the kitchen table, like, just working on taxes.
They never had that.
It's just like, I don't even know. I think my mom did taxes, you know, a lot of years when I was younger. My mom worked at a fucking, like, tuxedo rental place. Like, you know, she's basically doing weddings and, like, you know, proms and shit. Like, getting people in tuxedos. She worked retail shit when I was younger. Like, she worked in clothing stores.
Really?
She worked in a Big and Tall when I was a kid, when I didn't need Big and Tall. Then didn't work in one when I did need Big and Tall.
I needed a discount. Wait, did your dad, before he left, did he pop into your room and be like, this is all your fault, just so you know? Like, nicely.
Hey, buddy.
I'm leaving because of you.
We can't get along because of you.
You probably had something to do with it.
But they made it in some way. I don't know. It's funny. I don't remember ever, like, wigging out.
You were 3.
Yeah, I was. I was 3. That's true.
Wait, what else do you do that's completely irresponsible? Like, completely childlike as an adult? Like, irresponsible? You don't pay bills on time?
I'm out on top of bills. Stuff.
I get calls sometimes from collectors, and they're like, well, can you pay your bill? And I'm like, yeah, I forgot.
And right.
Like, well,
yeah,
do you
yeah.
need help financing? I'm like, no, I really, I just forgot. I forgot. It went under a
just don't letter. Think of it, yeah. And I'm telling you, I fully, it's good. I fully, fully get that.
Thanks.
Like, I do. So
usually only get Canada Dry
like,
on planes.
For whatever reason, what I am, the one weird, like, psycho responsible, quote-unquote, thing that I'm good at is, like, just keeping, like, tidy. Like, I'm not a messy, dirty person at all.
Good for you.
I'm very, like, I try, at least. I mean, it's not that I can't be. I'm not OCD at all, but, like,
yeah,
I am, I'd say, enough that it's, like, I don't understand why there'd be like dirty clothes all over a room when it's like you could put them in, even if you put it, even
because it's hard to pick
even
them
if
up.
You put, even if you put like a pile of them in one part of the room, you know what I mean? I'm very much like that.
Oh sure. Yeah, kick it over with your foot.
Just like let's at just have like something. Let's just have like the dirty clothes pile. Let's not have like, you know, dirty clothes in a pile and then also over here and a little over.
Yeah,
there. Like,
keep them together.
That blows my mind. Oh. That blows my mind. That's a bit extreme, but those are like my adult, like if you came to my place,
yeah.
If I got my own place and you came into my place, like it, my place would look.
So when you saw my place,
it would look minimalistic and like.
Oh, right. Barely anything. That's
what you saying when I saw your place? When
you
saw,
were you like, I would never be able to live like this? Or?
I did. At the same time, I realized there's a part of that that's like. I absolutely acknowledge the weirdness on my end of that, though, too.
Mm hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, I can't actually sit comfortable. Like, I'm pretty much like, I guess it is OCD to a degree, but I can't not walk away from it. But it's like, if I see a thing where it's like a bunch of mail is like fanned out on a fucking table, yeah. I just don't understand. Because again, it only takes 2 seconds. I'm also lazy. So you have to understand. I'm saying like, if someone was like, if it was not me that did it, and there was like mail strewn all over the floor,
You would never touch it.
Probably not going to be the guy. Not that I would never touch. Eventually, I would. But like, my point is, my OCD allows me to be like, whoever, like it was my daughter who did that. I'm like, well, she gets home in 3 hours, and she's going to clean that up. So you know what I'm saying? It's not like I think it's like where I don't go like, that's must pick stuff. It up.
My roommate used to leave out stuff like he left a VHS tape, like. On the island in the kitchen, It's just like Baldinger's house where it's like, you know. But I remember leaving there for like 6 months, just like thinking like, you better move that fucking VHS tape to the TV area. Because like I could just pick it up and throw it over there, but I never did. It's not my responsibility.
Yeah, there's something about this becomes then it becomes principal.
Yeah, Dice used to say it. He goes, you're just gonna get madder and madder at your roommate. So normally that's what happens until one day you wake up. And one of you is standing over the other one with a hammer.
You have to go.
It's like, oh, it's over now.
That's tight to me and Metzger, man. We couldn't live together, man. We did it for 6 months. It did not
pan out here.
Yeah. When I first moved up
here. Why? Because he's a mess?
He's a mess. And he's also a lunatic. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind also, you know, it was not easy to get used to a guy waking up screaming help in the middle of the night.
What?
You don't get used to it. Kurt's got night terrors. You don't know Kurt has night terrors?
No.
Shut up, dude. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that. Oh. We never fucking.
I wish you had he used to stay at your place.
Yeah.
When he'd go out to LA, but I wish you had a nanny cam. You should have nanny cammed Kurt.
I don't remember him getting
night terrors. You've never heard he has night terrors?
No.
Dude, he wakes up and he just starts screaming. He's like, dude, one of the funniest ones ever was when he was with his ex chick. She was awake and he was asleep and he was starting some nightmare. And he just woke up screaming. He's like, there's a laser in my eye. There's a laser in my eye. And she said she just like thought about it for a second. And just like her reaction after thinking about it was to just go, ah. Like she just like yelled like, all like right, I'm with you. Like I'm with you. He's busted into my room before. Like, and he's really? Like screaming the word help. And you're like, Kurt, help. Well, you're fine. And he goes, sorry. And he just backs so
he
back out.
And he goes back in?
He goes back
in. He sleepwalk, wakes up and walks around and screams.
So, dude, sometimes it's just a full-blown pain. He's like, Kurt says something really, really like, tell me I'm not going to die, man. I don't laugh at it so hard anymore because when I got my anxiety, it got pretty bad, but it was still a little more, if it makes sense, I was rational about my irrationality.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, I'm going to go to the hospital. It's like, why? It's like, because I'm freaking out and I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I'm sure they're going to tell me I'm not again, but I'm telling you, it's scary because my arm is numb and my chest is pumping. Like, something's wrong. Even if it's just anxiety, I'm going to feel better if I go to the hospital. And I went through that for, like, you know, months. But so I felt maybe have a little more of, like, a softness to Metzger's thing and be like, man, it's actually kind of a thing. But Metzger's so, like, just, like, Metzger talks to himself. I mean, he stays
on Facebook all day long.
He's a beautiful mind, dude. He really is a beautiful mind. But he just, like, you know, in his head is all those, like, red strings connecting dots and shit. But, like, he's just a goof. But the night terrorist thing, dude, the winner of all... He had this weird night in Maryland one time.
And where? It was right CFO?
No, this was like a black comedy club. This is years ago.
Okay.
And we had two beds in the room, and he was in the middle of one, and there was like a space in the middle of them. And he was just having nights all night. He kept waking up screaming, like, help, help. And I'd be like, Metzger.
Shut up.
Dude, you are fine, dude. There's nothing wrong. He'd go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Do you ever lose temper? Just be like, then why are you still doing it?
No, dude, lose my temper. Listen to this. So he keeps waking up with that, I'm sorry shit. And he does it again. I'm like, Metzger. He's like, help, I'm dying. I'm like, Kurt, you're fine. It seems like it's fake. You're almost ready to go. It's like, are you being for real right now, dude? But he's dead serious.
Wow.
And he goes, I'm dying. And he's flopping around. And it's so many times he's done this night, and I'm so exhausted. That he just fucking flops and rolls and falls off the bed in between the two beds. And I'm like, he stops making noise like a for a minute. Yeah, but I can't see him and he stops making noise. So I was like, maybe he just went back to sleep on the floor and I'm like, oh, thank God. And I started to put my head back down. And literally, half of his body comes up on my bed. He goes, help, help. And I was like, ah. And I'm like hitting his face. And he woke up, and he's like, sorry. And I think he slept in the bathtub. That's not even a lie. It's such a weird story.
Really?
But I'm pretty sure he went in the bathroom and slept the rest of the night in the bathtub.
Like I Am Legend?
Yeah, like weird, man. But he's, you know, that's why fucking Kurt Metzger is undeniably fucking brilliant, you know?
Hi,
sorry. He's undeniably, like, such a brilliant, weird fucking
dude. Does he ever say
dude.
Anything really, like, good funny taglines in his sleep?
Mm-mm.
Oh. I don't want those written down.
Kurt's a great example, too, though. Kurt's a great example, too, man. We both started comedy at 19. He was a little older than me, but we were
in
both
Philadelphia. 19,
in Philly. And so Kurt was the same thing, man. Kurt had no... What? He had a chick kind of taking care of him, in essence, of a way of, like... He just knew, like, if he had money, he'd be like, here is my money. And then she would, you know...
I gotta
make sure the cable stays on. Yeah. And make sure, and I'm a little reliant like that, man.
When I had my wife living with me when I was married, she did all the cleaning, and then whatever level of cleaning I could do just wasted away. That muscle just left.
Yeah.
And then when she left, it was just like, oh, I'll just continue never cleaning.
I'm way cleaner than any chick I've ever been with.
Really?
Way. Yeah.
Baldinger.
Creepily. Brian. Be Bri.
Brian did my podcast at when we did it at the. A live one at the Stand that was lost forever.
With the hooker?
With the semi-hooker.
We interviewed we interviewed on our podcast a chick in Toronto. She's from here. We saw her cabin night, actually. She was there. Who said she used to be a hooker. She's a comic. And she got the story. And I'm telling you, the more we thought about it as the week went on, I goes, I don't believe it. I think she's bullshitting about the whole story.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I What the hell's her name? Caitlin.
Caitlin?
Caitlin.
That's the... I would know how much they charged.
No, dude, she's like a young, new, not doing anything.
Caitlin.
Comic.
Caitlin's the name for
Caitlin,
white people.
Is it Caitlin Bailey? I think her last name is Bailey. I might have Caitlin wrong. But it doesn't even matter. She told the story on the thing. Like, I think, look, she might be telling the truth, but my gut instinct says, like, this is not a true story. She's total. She didn't make sense. She seems like.
What if some guy give her $100 to end of sex once?
Lewis's theory is very much that. I think Lewis is probably more on par with it. Like, there's probably some semblance of truth to it.
She can.
She used the word generous a lot.
Yeah, you're very generous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly how it worked, but she said it was from the time she was 17, right? I don't know. Just the story just didn't mesh in my when I heard it. Like, as we more we thought about it, I'm like. I don't think that's true. But do you think a chick...
what?
Cause someone goes, well, why would she do that?
A prostitute could be a...
But no, not even that.
Why would she make it up?
Someone goes, why would you do that? Goes, has that happened before? Has anyone ever found out that a comic's like actual life story gets exposed? Where you're like, that's not your...
Remember Vanilla Ice? Remember A Million Tiny Pieces?
Yeah, that guy's an author. I'm talking about a comic's backstory.
A Million Tiny Pieces was...
Remember the guy that wrote his book of the month story? And it got like millions of dollars.
And then he said like none of this happened to him.
Yeah, it was just like a fake story.
He's like, yeah, I'm a writer. I wrote. And like, but you published it as like memoirs. I goes, whatever.
Yeah, by the way, he didn't get any kind of trouble or anything at all. He's like, yeah.
He's like, I wrote a book. I said it wasn't all true. It's like little small bits are true. Yeah, has there been a comic who's lied about that backstory?
Like, I don't think Dice, you know, for being a character, never lied about his backstory. No. I don't know. I'm sure Larry the Cable Guy.
I mean, that's a character, but he's not lying about who he is.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. They do a character on stage, but I don't know if he's ever lied about the background. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
saying you got shot.
But then really almost our argument was, do you think a chick would make up, like, for the argument of trying to be extreme?
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Making up a backstory like
that? Yes, absolutely. Say, like, look what she's overcome. In terms of, like, development deal type sets, that's one.
But then do you want to be known as a chick who used to be a hooker? I mean,
I want
to
be known.
I guess
that's what they want. They want to be known.
It doesn't even matter, right? Yeah. Everyone's like, Diablo Cody, man.
Exactly.
Go fucking Diablo Cody.
She used to be a hooker, right?
Stripper,
whatever.
But
she was also a film critic. Which one was worse for society? Film critic.
But that's it. This is great.
What's happening, fellas? Guys? That cabin place is okay.
Yeah. It's fine. Look, it's a back bar of a room. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's not a fucking...
Or at least they're all back rooms.
Yeah.
In LA, they're all just, like, at bars.
Wait, so you started with Kevin Hart
and who else? Kevin Hart, Kurt.
That was the three of us, really. That, like,
and then what's his name came down and rescued all of you?
Keith Robinson.
Came and rescued all of you.
Rescued all of us.
Said,
ultimately,
you can't be here.
He goes, yeah, I get to New York. And then I brought up, essentially, I brought up DeRosa, oh, and Mike Vecchione.
Were they all working out when you were working out in Philadelphia?
They were coming as I was going.
Okay.
So, you know, 2 years later.
You went back and got them.
I went
You're
back
like,
and got
guys,
them.
Well,
I
learned saw, some you know, hacky I, maneuvers. I'll be back for you.
Because I would still get some hometown like work. You know, so I'd get some Philly work still here now. So I'd meet these guys, and I was like, oh, you guys are pretty good. And I know they're doing the Laugh House, that black club. And I was like,
let me see. Is that the one like on like that main
South
street?
Street, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wait, there's a club here? This is a great location.
It's a great location. Well, now the whole all South Street is pretty ghetto, though, now. It's gotten really like scary weird.
Oh, really?
It used to be like that was the black club, and there would be a lot of black people out, but it was like a mix. Like a heavy.
That's where you go get like tattoos and piercings.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, like, but it's become very like black down there. Like, it's taken over.
Oh.
Black bikers, almost. Like those like speed bikes.
Yeah, what's black bikers? I never know how to, what to, if, should I relate to them on, should I be scared because they're black or should they're scared because they're bikers?
Black.
Black is more?
Because it's not, it's very like fluorescent green jacket.
Yeah.
This leaning over like those fucking rice burner bikes. Yes, yeah. No. No, I'm doing that Sturgis thing this year. Like, that's going to be the bikers you're afraid of.
Sturgis?
Yeah. Maybe I might get punched. I'm going to try to get punched.
You're going to try?
I'm going to try. I'm going to see if I can bust balls enough that maybe a guy tries to take a swipe.
Somebody rushes
me.
You on, yeah. On stage?
No, not on stage. It's not that. I'm not performing comedy. So I'm hosting for a country music television. I'm hosting their like special coverage of Sturgis.
Oh, so you're just going to interview people?
So I'm going to go to Man on the Street shit, basically, for like, you know, a bunch of different events. So it's like homemade bikini, biker build-off, tattoo competition.
How does CMT find you?
Right?
Yeah.
Farrell, the guy you met tonight, the guy who directed the show Z-Rock I was on,
yeah,
suggested me for it. He's directing it.
Oh, okay.
So he suggested I do it, and they came, and they all came out and watched me at the Cellar, so I just did like an all crowd work set.
So they could see you can do it.
See me kind of do that, like work off the cuff like that, and they were like, outside that night, they were like, we're going to hire you to do it.
Really? Is it paying well?
It's fine, no. I mean, nothing, like, you know, nothing mind-blowing. It's four figures.
Sometimes
it's in the mid four figures.
Sometimes you're like, you get a price, and you're like, that's just on the line of.
It's not even just on the line, dude. Honestly, God, at the end of the day, unfortunately, like in my world, talk about. Like, I said that's where it comes in a little bit too, like the lack of responsibility and living, like, you know, having that childlike thing inside you. It's resulted in things like that. It's like I don't take responsibility for like getting better on like Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. I know my flaws, shit. Like I said. So it's like I try to get better at it as best I can, but I'm. It's almost
a
cop
like
a out.
Joke
its own.
A day on Twitter or something?
Huh?
Do you still at all try to like write a joke a day on Twitter?
No,
you don't.
I just don't think of it.
Yeah,
I never think to do.
You
got
to like have it on your mind to think of. Whenever I think about I have a forum on my website, but people are like, you got to go to it. I'm like, yeah, I mean to, and then I don't. But right. Then if I get in the habit, I can get it. I can like check it every 2 days. I just have to build a habit.
No, if I had like a fucking routine, like I said, I live my life extremely routine in a lot of ways. Like I wake up, I shit. With my computer.
Really?
Actually, I wake up, I should say, I smoke a cigarette or two then while my computer's, like, turning on. Then I shit, watch all my, like, go to all my video sites.
And catch watch up on the internet.
Just like, yeah, World Star
Hip-Hop.
Hip-Hop
is your favorite
yeah,
website
it's
in the world.
One.
What do you like about it?
It's not even my favorite one in the world. You know, I actually, there's plenty of days I don't look at one video on World Star Hip-Hop, but it's just, like, it's my first one because, like, if there's going to be something outlandish,
something
that's the one it's going to be on.
Somebody
and
falling.
Then Shoosh Time.
Did you hear their, what's Shoosh Time?
Another one's like porn and all the funny shit. Fights. You know, it's like fist fight. Everything you'll see, everything that'll go viral is happening there also. It makes sense. Like, I'm not a big YouTube guy for just like random, like, let me go see some find some funny videos of the day. Like, I don't do it like that. Like, I let someone pick it. And then, as I said, if it's on World Star or Shoosh Time, it'll be on the other one momentarily.
Oh, right.
That makes sense? Like a day or
Shoosh
two
time.
Apart.
What's the other one?
Shoosh Time. Shoosh Lewis showed time. To me. Shooshtime. It's great. Good sight.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What happened with
Kevin Hart? I was saying about my routine, though, about living life as a routine. And then, you know, I go to the gym at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, so.
Depending on what I got to do in the city. And then take a shower. My shower is oddly regimented.
Really?
And then I fucking get ready
You're
and go,
a
yeah.
comic. You're not supposed to have any regiment.
Weird, right? And yeah. And yet, completely unregimented on stage in every possible way.
Oh, yeah.
No regimen whatsoever. I don't have jokes
when
written
you
down.
Your hour, you're like, I'm going to remember my hour. You did 25 minutes of crowd work.
Yeah.
I'm like, hold on. I should
well,
do
I've been
jokes.
I've been doing that. When I ran it in Toledo and stuff, I did run an hour of jokes. I know. I really was like, I wrote it. Not I wrote it down, but like, I typed out like a
outline, basically.
I've cut back on my crowd work so much that I started trying to build towards something.
Mm-hmm.
I just do, just start with material. And then sometimes I'm like,
no, yeah.
I got to work on crowd work a little bit.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
What?
To just start with material.
Yeah.
And there was a time when I wouldn't have done anything else. My mindset would be like, I'm going on stage, like, all right, this is my, like, I'd have an opening joke that I would do for like a few months.
Yeah.
And then I would get sick of that, and I would like factor in something new to be like my opening thing.
There's so many hot.
I mean, I remember at a time when every set I did, I'd get on stage, I'd go, we have everybody here tonight. Black people.
Did you really?
White people. Some miscellaneous shit over here. Something else about another, right? Just make up some whatever.
That's Lisa Lampanelli stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I'm saying, I knew it. I did it way beyond knowing it blew.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's my opening thing. It makes them laugh, and then I'm comfortable, and then I go into whatever newer stuff or even some old stuff, whatever it was. But like, and then one day I couldn't tell you the exact day or why I even did it. I just started abandoning material like altogether and just being like, going, trying to be. And it's just so much more fun
for
me.
It is more fun. It's way more free.
So more fun. Because I don't mind like the thing, but there is a bit of like, something of the honesty is removed from me as soon as you take a...
Yeah, it contrives itself a little bit.
Yeah, just starts feeling like you're like, I'm being a phony.
There's a cool thing. I always compare like crowd work to like, you know how when you're Super Mario, and you know how you can jump on the clouds, but mm-hmm. if you step on them too long, they start to fall.
Yeah,
and they go faster and faster, and they fall. It's like, they start to fall, and you ever have like no cloud to jump to, but you just jump and hope one appears?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. You're just like, I'm just going to start talking, and hopefully something will pop into my head.
Otherwise, we're lost. And the ability to do it, even like the willingness to do it, comes just, I think it is just a solely like time and practice. Repetition, like how much time you get on stage.
Muscle sharp.
But not even if you get the muscle sharp, I think it begins completely with the lack of fear that you just know. Like, it's like, I've known the worst could happen. I've been in a fight on stage.
Yeah.
I've had shit, all different kinds of shit thrown at me. I've been attacked after shows. I've been, like, run to my car after shows.
Yeah.
Any number of things. So it's like, how worse could this possibly, right. What am I going to say? It's going to be the worst.
David Taylor used to say that he has always used the bottom of the mic stand as a weapon, because if you click that, it's that's heavy as fuck. I'm like, why are you thinking that way? Because I get rushed all the time.
I didn't get rushed all the time, but he had a fucking glass thrown at him once.
He's not gay, but he's been called bald faggot so many times on stage that he has a comeback ready for it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's fucking great. Dude, tell one of my favorite things ever. He said on stage, made me laugh, just like a tension breaker. There was a guy in the audience one time, and Attell was going back, and the guy was kind of in the back in the dark a little bit, but like he somehow reminded Attell who he was. He goes, hey, what's up, dude? You don't remember me? He's like, no. I guess he didn't tell me the story because I didn't ask. I really should have. We were driving to Virginia. He goes, someone asked him a question. He goes, when's the last time you've been in a fight, dude? He goes, I got punched in the face like 6 months ago. He's like, yeah? He's like, it was someone along. I was like, did you deserve it? He's like, yeah, probably. But I can't remember. I didn't ask what the story was, but I heard it from someone else too. I wish I could remember what it was. But he was watching McCall. He was fucking damn it, I lost my train of thought. I am stoned. Yeah, Dave Attell.
Some guy yelling at him. Wait.
Oh, yeah, the guy in the audience. Yes, the guy's like, you don't remember me at all? And Dave's like, no. He's like, where should I know you from? He's like, that night at Fat Black Pussycat or whatever with the... I was the guy with the guitar or something. Some basically information that got to the point where I found out later is he's reminding him that he's the guy. Like, Attell apparently was, like, talking to this chick at Fat Black, and she was into it, and they ended up, like, making out, or she was really flirting with him hard, or saying she was going to leave with him.
Yeah.
And it was his girlfriend.
Oh.
And they got into it that night at the Fat Black. I don't know how violent it got or not violent it got, but then we got weird.
Yeah.
And he goes, so without the credit of knowing, he goes, you don't remember me that night?
With no clothes on.
He's like, the night... What is
it? A butt?
Is it a butt?
With scant, like, underwear on.
I can't tell.
It's because it's through a sheer...
No, it's not. That might be a butt, dude.
I think it's a butt, because those are the arms.
This thing's mobile. Pick it up and walk over this way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's go see if it's a butt.
Get our creep on.
Oh, I think it's a...
Oh, yeah, it's a butt.
Is that a naked body? Yeah.
It's totally naked.
I think it's a chick.
It's not a dude. It's a chick.
Oh, wow. What a jackpot.
Yeah. It's sheer. But, oh, there's someone else in the room.
They got to turn around.
Oh,
she's fucking butt naked, dude.
Oh, she's got a bra on top.
Does she? Oh, maybe that's underwear, too. It looks like it's very flesh-toned underwear.
Could be underwear on the bottom, but I think it's a black... Maybe not. Maybe it's just a shadow.
We got to back up a little bit.
Oh, she came down off a ledge. She was up on a ledge. Oh, is her face.
I'm going to let her look right at my face.
Really?
Why would you not? It's she's the weird one. Oh, this guy's going to fucking boink her.
Oh.
Are we about to watch a couple fuck? This is great. I'm going to watch this whole thing. Yeah.
The first podcast. Did they just get ready for it?
I think they just got ready for it. I think he just climbed on top of her.
Oh, she was standing up on the bed? She was just up there, like, bouncing and, like, look at me?
It's very possible.
Oh, he came over without a shirt on.
Yeah.
Can we shimmy up that fire escape and go?
You know what? All the CrossFit in the world isn't going to get me to get up in that fucking...
No, I'm not breaking in. I'm just peeping.
I'm just checking out what's going on. You guys are fucking, yeah?
Hey, guys, they're fucking.
I've never wished I lived more on the third floor of this building before.
Yeah, and you could... Oh, yeah, you could look down into it. They are about to... That's what it is. I think they're about to fuck. Oh, I hope I see the thing. You know, my favorite thing to show when they're not showing sex is you just show a hand come up
and then the slides down.
Yeah, slides down.
That could also be a murder.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they went low.
Yeah, they went low.
Psst.
No, you can't do that.
I guess I couldn't coax them out. Losers.
This city is fun. There's so much shit going on here.
It's so condensed. So it's like, the thing is, like, there's weird shit happening. It's like, you will definitely. It's like, I was thinking the other day in my life, I was like, I wonder if I'll ever see two chicks fighting again where, like, titties pop out. And I was like, probably a dozen more times.
Yeah.
A dozen more times.
Just a fight, any fight.
There'll just be a fight. And the thing is, like,
that girl yelling at.
But the odds in the world, if you live in fucking Mississippi, the odds of you seeing a fight once a week.
Yeah,
I couldn't even guess what the numbers, but I bet. No, I think the odds are low. If you live in like
oh right,
Montana
right.
or something, really, like unless you go looking for a place that has fight, like a lot of fights happening.
Yeah,
you're probably just not going to see a fight like on a day to day. But like your odds of just seeing a fight here, like if you walk around enough, you'll see people fight. If you go to a bar area,
like the cellar where everyone's drunk and walking,
you will just see a fight. I've seen so many fights outside the cellar.
Yeah,
and it's great. I mean, recently saw fights outside.
You just
cellar.
Watch them.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about car accidents? You ever see car accidents out there?
I always see after car accidents. I never see them happen too much.
The store, because we all hung out in the patio, we'd see car. They'd like crash right there.
Yeah.
We would just heckle them. It's the worst thing. Not only do you crash into somebody, but then you have to have 40 like open mic comedians just.
Yeah, that was the beauty. That is what's going. That is what died with like Patrice almost, is that thing. It's like the real sitting outside camaraderie of just like heckling shitting on every people outside. Just like they have tables set up outside. Everyone would sit outside and just like.
Oh, really?
Fucking just shit on people.
Oh, let's do that more.
Left and it is fun. They take the tables in like kind of early. Like one, they take them in.
There's tables outside there?
Now where? The weather's warm. Right out front. They just put them right out front.
Where Essie sat and did the tickets that night?
Yeah. It's like, it's three tables only. It's three tables.
Oh, wow.
Three 4-seat tables.
And you can sit there and eat and fucking.
No, 2 4-seat tables and a 2-seat table. You can sit there and eat, yeah. You can get food brought outside.
You can't smoke there.
Yeah. A weed? No, not weed. That's two out in the open.
This seems. Like the perfect place to smoke weed.
Except
right
there's a police station, not a stone's
throw. Yeah, I know. I pass it when I come here. this seems right. This doesn't seem like it's a problem at all.
Well, then it's more of an issue. You saw a head. Oh, wait. Yeah, they're going for it. I see stuff moving.
Oh.
Oh, she going to ride his dick? We got to walk back over again.
Is she going to ride him? She going to ride his dick.
This chick's going to ride cock.
Be cool, man.
No, pick it up. Throw it at the window. Let them know.
Instead of a pebble, it's a TV screen.
They are not playing the camera B.
No, they're not. Oh, you just you see like a little bit of.
There's all these flickers.
Yeah.
If this guy had a bigger dick, we would see his ass coming up. He's rabbit fucking her with a little dong. I know thing or two about rabbit fucking.
Oh, man.
Ah, this chick sucks. Ride his cock already. He's yelling out.
Sit up and lean back towards the window.
They know their window's a little open, too. Gomez told me him and his chick will fucking bang in front of... they leave their blinds on like purpose? Slightly open on purpose. I get that, though.
I met his daughter.
Son?
Son, yeah, whatever. And he was like...
That's great.
He was like, this is Ari. You know how those like, parents will do this? Like, this is your Uncle Ari. He does this.
Come on!
Oh, they can't see in the dark, right? Or can they?
Who cares?
I'm staying right up here. By the way, if you're fucking and you look out the window and see people staring, it's worse if they're staring and two of them are holding microphones. What are you possibly doing?
It's like worst case scenario.
He goes, now it looks like he's got her. Oh yeah, he's fucking laying pipe, dude. Oh, he is fucking going the fuck. I'm staring right in his face. I have no back there. Yeah, they're making out.
He's going for it. She leaned back this way, and he's in top. Wow.
I'm going to keep getting the higher ground.
Yeah, if you stand up, you sort of get... What's she doing with her hands?
She's shaking her hair out.
Why? What, she got cum in it?
She probably has cum in it.
She probably...
You know what? Your first reaction is usually the right one.
She probably has cum in it.
Oh, is she going to lower the... No, she doesn't give a shit.
Oh, she doesn't care at all. Oh, she almost showed boobs.
That's what I'm saying.
She
almost showed boobs.
She doesn't care at all. What'd she just do, Ash? Why'd she go out the window?
We find it's like a dual suicide.
Oh, there she is again.
Wait, stop that so we can stay on the roof of that truck.
Oh, she's riding him. She's riding him.
She might be riding cock.
She is riding cock. She's riding cock. Oh, my God.
I'm going to stare and point.
This will never get old for me.
No, me either.
Wow.
I'm a total fucking voyeur.
She's got a good body.
I can't tell. I just see her. I see her
the butt.
She has Here I Go Again Whitesnake video hair.
Oh, Tonic Etienne?
Yeah.
She hangs out at the store.
Really?
Yeah.
With that plastic face?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Oh, wait. They're fucking all over the bed.
Where'd she go? Yeah, they keep moving positions.
Oh. Well, oh, wait a second. She's fully dressed.
No, she's not.
No?
No.
I just thought she was like fully dressed a second ago.
No, she...
She opened the window more. If she comes out to smoke a cigarette on the balcony...
Oh, she's putting a robe on. She's putting a robe on. She's coming out to smoke a cigarette that week.
Oh, you think they fucked that fast? That's it. They're over.
She's yeah, she got him off. And now she's going to go...
Oh, I hope to God. I'm going to give a round of applause.
Wow.
I'm going to give a round of applause. Don't stop me.
All right.
She's probably going to wonder why I'm standing up on this ledge.
Yeah, probably.
With a microphone staring at her and pointing. I'm like the... was it Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Yeah. Shit. We got everybody looking. We think they're fucking.
I didn't know what to say to her.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say it's a friend of ours.
I'm sorry. It's white people fucking. We lost
She looked angry. Chick. She looked like feminist angry. Like, what are you doing?
Well, we're looking. Well, they're fucking with their windows open. Don't judge me. Fucking Condoleezza Rice.
Sarah Silverman did that once at Largo. She was like, hike. You know how girls will hike up their thing, whatever their stockings mm-hmm. or whatever. And she was picking her skirt all the way up, and Prosane was standing in front of her, and I was like looking at it, and she was like, said something. She didn't say like, did you get a good look, but she said something along those lines, like enjoying yourself, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I looked away, but then I want to be like, no, why are you doing that in public? Of course I'm going to look.
Fucking, did you see Sarah's nude thing in the movie?
I saw the online.
Yeah, just the clip. Yeah. No one was watching the movie.
It was. What movie was it?
I don't know. The one where Sarah Silverman shows her bush. She had a big bush, though.
That doesn't do anything for me anymore. I just think
it was supposed to be, and because it was supposed to be, they were very successful making it. It's a very unflattering scene. I think Sarah's cute. I think she's a really cute chick.
Yeah.
But like, that was a very unflattering like look for her.
I think the other girl that passed by too was weird because, you know, who she looked like? You ever watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia? She looks like the McPoyles.
She did look like the McPoyle. Yeah. She looked like the McPoyle.
She looked like a McPoyle.
The one just licks her lips all the time.
She had the one unibrow.
Yeah, she was fucking bizarre looking, huh?
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
She's going to go practice sorcery somewhere.
Lights are off. They can see us now.
Perfect. Time to point again.
Jesus Christ.
I hope they walk out of the front. Well, good
fucking
sleep.
Do you still talk to Kevin Hart?
Yeah. So I'm not, you know, no, not with, like, I have, to get, his,
with
I have to get his number sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He changed his
that's
number.
Successful. He's still black.
He's
black
still,
people change their number more than anyone.
Yeah.
Number one race for number changing. Wow, they turned off the lights.
I don't know. I guess when you get to a certain point and certain people get the number, I guess, you know, you got to change. I guess, I don't know. Seems to me like changing numbers is an ordeal. I have never changed my cell phone number ever.
Really?
Not one time ever since I've owned a cell phone. No. It's always been the same number. Kevin Hart. Yeah, I speak to him once in a while. Oh, I wasn't going to tell you that story about the... we can close out on this.
Where was it?
Sacramento.
Yeah.
I saw him. And I don't know, you know, you're doing pretty good for yourself, but you may have still have like that. There might be some comics who you like knew, you started with, or you were like really friendly with, who just like. I mean, they were pretty tight at a time. Where just like they just going on like wild success, and you're kind of like,
up. Yeah,
you're like, all right, like you know. I mean, people. I don't feel that way if it makes sense with Aziz, even though Aziz was like an open micer a little after I was an open micer here in New York.
He was one of your guys too,
but he wasn't one of my guys. Yeah. So he was like, I went from a kid. I was like, who I was like, I didn't think anything of at all.
Yeah,
I mean, I almost just gave no thought. I'm saying right. Aziz was like a guy. I was like, oh, that open mic Indian kid.
Yeah, it's like he still had to take time.
And then he was super famous. And then he came in, so it's not doesn't blow my mind when I see. I'm like, wow, man! Aziz, I don't even think about Aziz's life, but Kev, like, I saw Kev's life. Like, we stayed at each other's houses. You know what I mean? Like, we were both trying to fucking, you know, we were both broke and struggling, trying to figure it out together. And now, how famous he is! But so I told you part of this, but
that stuff was on the billboard. So that we were coming movie.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. That line, the witness the rise of a legend. Wow. That's a weird thing to say about yourself.
That really is. That really is.
But he,
our chair. You know, you cough less when you smoke.
Really?
You. I noticed you before. You were hacking up a lung when we were upstairs.
I needed to smoke.
And then you, like, smoked a joint and a cigarette together.
Yeah.
Stopped smoking while you were doing that.
Yeah, you got to settle everything in. we're in Sacramento.
Come out in the I wanted her to come out on the porch so I could see her.
Yeah, I wanted to applaud. We'll get next time, buddy. Next time.
We'll close the window from then on.
I'm in Sacramento by chance the same time Kev's there.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling pretty good because as a comic, you know, I'm playing the Sacramento Punchline. Yeah. It's an A club.
Oh, that's a good club.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a good club. My numbers there are okay. It's one of those gigs I feel like good. I don't go there like, oh, I hope it's not a butt. Like, it's always good numbers. It's always a cool place. And it's an A club. And, you know, for whatever thing, when you start doing comedy, the fact that you could, I can reflect enough to be like, oh, I'm headlining an A club, man. That's pretty fucking neat. I used to do open mic night and never get on stage ever. There. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. So my pretty cool fucking gig, and Kev's in town doing the Arco Arena, which is where the Sacramento Kings play. Now, whatever, that's fine. He goes, come on over. Now, I already am guilty of,
he
like,
come over when you're
to his hotel room.
Okay.
So I'm already undeniably, like, aware of my envy of Kev's situation, you know, where it's like, I'm pretty fucking broke, essentially.
Right.
You know what I mean? Versus, like, Kev.
Not broke.
Not broke at all.
Yeah, playing the Arco Arena.
And, it, you know, it really gets, like, I don't think he meant to do it at all. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But anyway, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Yeah. He goes, come on over. So I'm like, yeah, I'll come over. Fine. So I get a cab. I'm going over. The cab driver starts talking to me. He's like, why are you going from one hotel to another hotel? I go, I'll meet my friend in town. He's like, oh, cool. He goes, you guys are in the same hotel? I'm like, no. He's like, what are you in town for? I tell him, I go, I'm headlining the Punchline. He's like, oh man, that's so cool. He's like, I love that place, man. I go there all the time. He goes, you're a comedian. That's really fucking cool and everything. But just like, he's like, yeah, man, you're like a comic. You're like making it, right? Like, you're doing something because you're.
That always feels good. People are like, wait, so you really do this?
He's like, you're headlining the Punchline. That's like, I seen, like, he starts telling me, like, you know, like, I seen Bob Saget there. And so, you know, just like names, I guess, you know, whatever. And I'm like, cool, man. I'm like, yeah, sweet. He goes, so what are you going to this hotel for? I was like, Kevin Hart's, and you know Kevin Hart. He's like, yeah, I know Kevin Hart. He goes, he is? Oh, yeah, he's playing New York Arena tonight. He goes, oh, that's cool. He goes, you know him? And I'm like, yeah, we started doing comedy. He goes, oh, and he's like really into that I know Kev, which blows my mind because the guy's, I'm talking like a genuine Indian, you know, guy. Yeah.
Well, and I'm like,
yeah, I know him. He's like, oh, that's really cool, man. And then it's like a weird couple minutes of silence. And then he goes, so you think you can get me tickets? So I immediately assume he's talking about my shows. And I go, yeah, I got like 5 shows. Like, what night are you looking to come? He's like, oh, no, I'm in for Kevin Hart's show, man. And I was like, no, dude, I don't think I can do that. I'm sorry. So he drives me to the place, and I get, now I already got that. I know I'm going over to see some stuff that's going to make me be a little like, Jesus, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Really?
What is that? That from the cab?
It's the cab. No, it's the car behind it.
The car behind him. The cab wouldn't blast it like that.
I get out of the cab. I see Kev walking by. Kev's walking by, and the cab driver starts losing his shit. He's so excited. He's like, oh, man, that's him. He's him right there. I'm like, Kev invites me over. At the same time, he decides also he's going to go to the gym. So
I kind of hang with him while he's working, literally while he's working out, which is weird. But
do you just get stoned and forget he asked you to come over, or just not think about it?
What, him?
He was about to go.
He doesn't get stoned. He doesn't get like that.
Really?
So, no. So it's like, yeah, it was weird. I don't know. So I go there anyway. I'm bullshitting with him. But hey, we're catching up a little bit, and it doesn't feel that weird.
Yeah.
Then we walk outside to go from the gym. The way the gym has an exterior entrance. The hotel gym.
Okay.
It's on the street, and it's like a full gym, and then you have to walk back to the front of the building and go inside. It's a Hyatt. We from walking out of that gym door.
Yeah.
To getting to the front door of the thing. Yeah. Cars stop. People pull out. People running out of stores. People. The pandemonium, it just starts behind him as he's walking.
Kevin Hart is that big?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. She's the same thing. It's funny because she's almost the same way. She's like, I guess she just doesn't see what he's in, she said. And a lot of people are just like that. Some people just don't know him.
Some black movies at first.
But a lot of people just know him. So,
yeah,
I'm telling you, cars stopping, people driving. And came out of this, like, I go, dude, is that fucking crazy, dude? Is that nuts? Even me asking him a question that was so cheesy, but it was so real for me. Because, like I said, I remember me and Kev, like, splitting. Buying Madden 1 year. Like, we split the price of it.
so you could each have it half the year?
So, no, it was, we would play it together, but it was like, neither of us had, like, a ton of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'd split Madden. You know what I mean?
That is weird.
But it's like, to see him, and I asked him a question. I go, are you, like, a fucking, like in your bank account, are you making multi-millions of dollars? And he was just so kind. He's like, oh, yeah. Like, it's like that, like, mm-hmm. He told me, I don't want to say the number. I don't want to put his business out there like that. But he told me what he pays in alimony is nuts.
Really?
What he pays in alimony, I'd be like, I made it. If that's what my monthly income was. I'd be like, I'm doing good.
And his ex-wife.
I could buy a car. I could buy a nice car every month.
His ex-wife never did one open mic.
She did, actually.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she deserves it.
She did one of them.
She deserves everything.
She did one of them. I think it was one.
Really?
And went up there and just tried to shit on Kev, I think. But anyway, so I get to the hotel. I go upstairs to the hotel room with him. And I ask him about the thing with the people. I go, is that crazy? Like, how do you handle that? And he's like, I just kind of got to ignore it. And he goes, and every once in a while, you just turn around and do this. And he's like, and everyone goes like, ah! He gets so excited. He's like, he goes, and you just got to keep walking, man.
Whoa.
And we go into the hotel. We go up to his room where his boys are all playing Xbox.
Yeah.
It's a sweet, you know, big screen TV on the wall. His boys are all playing. There's food. There's like all these, like, you know, big things of like room service food in this room. No care. You know, Kev pulls out his laptop, starts getting ready to show me stuff. And all these things just keep hitting like back to back. I'm like, I go, oh, it's like old times, man. You still, because I brought my Xbox out to that gig particularly to play as I laid on a Murphy bed. To play on a fucking, you know, 27-inch plasma TV or whatever.
Yeah.
And I go, just like old times, you still bring your Xbox out on the road after all that? I go, I bring mine on the road, too. He goes, no. He's like, when we get into town, we just send one of the runners to go buy one every time we get to it. He goes, then we just leave it behind for the maid. And I'm like, and I have, like, a backpack for mine to bring around. You know what I mean? So he's like, all right. Then he goes, you want to see the new, some of the teasers for the new show? And I'm like, sure.
Sounds whatever.
He's like, you know, I got pyro in the show. And I'm like, yeah, I heard it's really awesome, which I did. Robbie was trying to tell me how he wanted to hate it too, but it was awesome.
Oh,
and And in my mind, I'm going like, I'm just going to have to go, Kev's ridiculous. Like, pyro.
He's got pyro.
So, it's so assholish and so asinine to put pyro in your comedy show. That's going to suck. And then he shows it to me in the trailer. The trailer is just great. And the pyro works. And when he walks out.
When you used to tell me about it, I was like, no way. But then I saw Muse play and they had all these lasers and TV screens coming out. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Dude, I got goosebumps the way that he comes out, the way he comes out. Like, and when he's just, you know, he steps foot into the light. Kev just walked, and the 25,000 people erupt.
Yeah,
and like in the pyros, like, the pylons are going off. It's so, it just looked amazing.
Wow.
It was amazing, and you're like, that's awesome, dude. It really is awesome. And then very quickly, he's like, you want some food or something? I get some food. I mean, I was in there for half hour, maybe tops.
Yeah,
15 minutes at the gym, 20 minutes at the gym, we'll say, and maybe like 15, 20 minutes in his room. I go, well, I gotta run, man. I gotta run. No, I probably could have hung out for, but not crazy long, but another hour at least. I could have hung out.
Didn't want to be there.
I got out. I got like, I just like, I was like, it's making me not feel be happy.
I'm not being happy for him right now. It's making me like, it's making
too
me
jealous.
I'm crazy jealous, and I'm just like bumming. And that cab driver that was so excited to see him was like, the way he blew me off. But this cab driver gave me a card. He goes, "It's impossible to get a cab out here. So if you want to call me, our thing's right around here, our hub. So I'll come get you again." And the guy did get me again.
Oh, okay.
So we're driving back, and he's like, "How was it, man? Was it?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Was it awesome?" And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, it's like I know him. Like, he's my friend. It wasn't like it wasn't like I just won a contest to go meet Kevin Hart.
Presence,
like,
yeah.
I know him." But I go, "Yeah, it was cool." He goes, and then a weird silence, and he goes, he's like, "I'm sorry, man, but before," he goes, "I felt that was weird." He goes, I don't know why I didn't ask you before." He goes, "I know you can't get tickets to Kevin's show." He goes, "Can I come see your show, one of your shows this weekend?"
Yeah, that's nice.
And I go, "Yeah, dude, if you want to come see the show," I go, "Which way are you coming?" And we're talking. He's like, "It'd be tomorrow, man. Tomorrow." He goes, "I'm going to bring my girl. It's going to be..." I go, "Yeah, you know, let me get your name before I get out of the car." And whenever he goes, "Cool, man." He goes, "I'm excited now, man. I'm going to go see a comedy show. It's going to be..." He's kind of a younger guy, you know. "It's going to be comedy. It's going to be really cool, man. I'm excited for that." I go, "Sweet." And then just silent for the rest of the trip, which is another like 10 minutes, maybe. And we get back to the hotel. I'm getting ready to get a car. I go, "You want to give me your name and like tell me what number, or you want to like give me your number or something?" Yeah. "Or I'll give you my number and text it." And he goes, "Hey, you know, dude, I'm probably not going to make it out." And I'm like, "Why would you? You didn't have to build me back up to smash it down again. Like, I already gotten the idea that you wanted to see
to make
Kevin.
Feel nice."
But then, like, at the end of it, like, then why not just give me your name and not show up? Like, you never have to see me again. Like, he made sure he goes, "Yeah, dude, you know, I'm not even going to probably come out." And then I was just a wreck the rest of the day. I was just not. I made a bunch of phone calls, man.
How was your set that night? Do you remember?
I don't remember being bad, so it was probably pretty... I like that. I think I do well at that club. It's hard-pressed to find a show that went bad.
Okay. Or good. I don't know. I remember being in that room and just having somebody heckling mercilessly.
Yeah?
Some lady. And I was like, "How much did you pay for your ticket?" And she's like, "Nothing," because she got it for free. And she started in my face. And I just remember turning back to the manager. I'm like, "Do you see a problem with this?"
Yeah.
This person who didn't value the ticket at all is not valuing the show.
So true.
But fucking... Oh, man, it's tough, though. When people like you know get, like, really... When Renazisi got, like, a little bit, I was happy for him. But I know people before that, I remember being like... I don't know what it is. Sometimes you're like... When you think you're better than them or more deserving or something.
Yeah. Look at some of that, definitely. But you gotta fucking... You know what, man?
It's not like you're mad at them. You're just mad at them in relation to you.
Yeah, exactly it. Exactly. It's like...
It points out that you're doing.
Well,
so
I put it. I don't even know if I fully even buy into this so much anymore as I did when I first said it. But I used to have a thing like I don't have a lot of like. Not it shouldn't be him. It should be me.
Yeah,
I have much more. Not with Kev. I'm just saying in general, like you know, using general pronouns. Like I have much more of a. Well, of him than me. All.
Me
what
too.
Do you mean? What do you mean? Not me. What do you mean? Not me and him. Yeah. Like him and me. Then like
yeah.
Should I
well,
be?
Then his
but there's some weird thing
out.
About a path. Dude. And look, of course, I would have loved to have TV shows younger and tons of money, and undeniably that stuff would be fantastic. But for whatever it is, the respect that I garner in stand up is all based on the way I did it, like my path I took. You know what I mean? So it's like. I don't know what that means or what that's even worth ultimately, but it's like I'm happy that I do comedy the way I do it. And I don't know if that would have happened. Like, I think about Kev. I think Kev's very good. I think Kev knows how to entertain.
Used to talk about,
he knows how to fucking do it. But Kev, one thing about Kev is like, I don't think Kev is crazy different than when Kev started doing comedy.
Oh, right.
Where there is a fucking. Like, Kev hasn't seen me do comedy probably in 10 years at least. Like, if he saw me do comedy tomorrow, I think he would know it's going to be dirty because I was always kind of dirty. But like, I think he would have no idea what's happening. He'd be like, "Oh wow, it's so different from what I used to do when I was really tight with Kev." I mean, I really did. I had a black comedy club set.
Charles Bukowski used to write about other poets because he would never do these like college readings and stuff, reading his poetry. I think he thought maybe because it was like you don't get it from hearing it once.
Yeah,
you know, it's a poem. You got to read it like 100 times. But he was always talking about these other poets who had money and had like teaching, you know, doctorates and places.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, they got money, they got homes, they got this and cash and respect, but they'll never have my balls, and they all know it." And
yeah,
it drives
them
crazy.
There's something about that too. Oh, it's funny. I actually get like weirdly like touched by stuff like that when tonight that happened with that that W. Kamau Bell thing at the thing.
Uh-huh, what happened?
Just when I saw him, like, I couldn't take any reason he has to know me other than the one thing we did. So when I saw him, I was like, "What's up, man?" He was like, "Hey, what's up, man?" I was like, "We did
Pete Holmes' podcast and JFL 42 together. He's like, no, I know. He's like, I know. He goes, yeah. I know who you are besides that. And I was like, you do? Like, I really in my head, I'm like, why would he? I didn't know he was until there was a show called whatever, whether it was
really? WKML. I know him. I know him from San Francisco, I guess. I just knew him from
eventually. When I hear that, I was always like, so I don't know. I don't know where my reach goes to at all.
Well, he's a comic.
I know my bank book doesn't
people in comedy know who you are. Matt Egger, you're one of Matt Egger's favorite comics.
Huh?
The guy who's staying at my apartment in L.A., you're one of his favorite comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was so stoked when he was like, Big Jay's here?
Dude, Patrice has one of the best stories. I think it was seeing Lavelle Crawford.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
Fat Lavelle Crawford,
Fat Lavelle Crawford out in L.A. one time.
Yeah.
And he said it was this weird thing outside of the comedy club, like a sizing of each other up. but Patrice wasn't sizing up. He said, just Lavelle Crawford, he's like, he goes, what's up, man? He's like, what's going on, man? He's like, Lavelle Crawford, man. He's like, what's your name? The Patrice? And Patrice just goes like, he's like, Nick, you know the fuck I am. Like, this business is pretty small at the end of the day, really. He's like, you know who I was. I'm not saying everybody in this business knows. This is Patrice talking, obviously. He goes, I'm not saying everyone in this business knows each other like on a fucking personal. But I knew your name. A good example, I didn't know your name before we ever officially really met. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I met Ryan Hamilton 2 days ago. And he goes, I don't know if we ever met. I'm like, didn't we? And he's like, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay. I'm like, I know who you are. I mean, I know your name but, and your face together. Yeah, you got some of that.
But yeah, so it's weird when you see and you. But yeah, a little bit. I mean, Patrice obviously had a lot more reaching.
You know who I am.
But that's the degree. I would never say it like that. Nigga, you know who the fuck I am. He's like, don't I? He goes, because they always want to kind of size you up and be like, does he know why I am? He goes, Patrice is so good to just cut through the shit and be like, you know why I am? I know the fuck you are. If we don't know each other, we still know it's like, I've seen you on your shit, you've seen me on my shit. That's what it is, too.
And
going to Toronto is good. Yeah, I know you experience that when you go there, too. When you go to Toronto, what I find bizarre is like
local comics.
Before it even hits like the fucking like where I have tons of fans who are just like, you know, doctors, lawyers, teachers, deli owners, deli workers.
So
before you have that, like what you do have is like wherever I go in the country or even out, apparently like tons of comics who know I am. Like comics follow comedy. And I guess I'm at least that level of where it's like they see me doing like stuff. You know, they see me on like
I had this idea a few years ago after I did Montreal. First time, I think it was my first festival I'd ever done, and then I realized like when I was starting, all I would do is go look at the LA Weekly, the free newspaper, and see who's on what lineups, who's doing what book shows and stuff.
Yeah,
and then you would see who's on festivals too, and I was like, as long as you just get on those things, put your name on there, all the other comics will know who you are.
Yeah,
you just do those on a consistent basis. TV is the same sort of thing. Like, who's going to be doing a half hour this year? It's like, you get on those lists, people just will know who you are.
I think when you do a half hour special, any comic below you
knows who's out. Yeah, you're right.
And like I still know, like now it's getting to the point with the half hour specials where I know 80% of them.
Oh, I don't know that many.
Do you know what I mean? But
maybe I do.
Yeah, about 80. You know about 80.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean know them by it's like I've heard their name. Or I know who they are. I've seen them. Maybe I don't know their comedy.
But instead of saying like, oh, I don't know who that is at all.
But I'm saying it was probably about 2 years from me being like, I don't even know who these people are.
Yeah.
I almost hope it's 2 years. But I almost hope it's 2 years. Before, it's like, Patrice always said that kind of thing too. It was interesting. It was like, you know, the small fish are supposed to get big and push the big fish out.
Yeah.
The big fish are supposed to be moving on to other things, and then the other guys become the big fish. That's why that video is so interesting to watch. That Keith called me the other day to watch is. It's on YouTube.
Louis C.K.?
No, it's on YouTube. It says Outside Boston Comedy Club, Patrice O'Neill.
What is it?
And it's a video of easy 10. It's before two. It's before 9/11.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely before 9/11. But it's the Barry Katz roast. But it's that night.
Yeah.
But that's at the Boston Comedy Club, and it's Patrice, young Norton,
really
younger Keith, young Florentine, me. Clean shaven, spiky hair, big silver chain around my neck.
Jesus
significantly
Christ.
Heavier. Metzger, thin, Guido-ish. Geeky, with his fucking more hair than he had ever. And me and him are just kind of sitting there, like meekly behind everybody, meekly in the background. Kev is fucking full blown in it. Kev is a nobody at this point, but full blown in it, busting balls with Rich Voss and it's funny and it just ends with it just got posted a couple days ago apparently. Patrice just goes, He goes, you see, Kev, your problem is, he goes, you thought you were so in that you could sponsor other hacks, so that's why you brought Jay and Quentin Tarantino. He calls Kirk Quentin Tarantino. And then it's just Keith laughing for fucking 3 minutes at them calling Quentin Tarantino. And it's just me and Kirk in the background just smiling. Like,
yeah, well, that's our spot. We'll
just enjoying.
It.
Yeah, just, but the thing is, like, there's one thing that DeRosa did not love. I thought it was fun. So much. DeRosa didn't love it, and I just did, man. I love coming. Like, that was the best, dude. When they would turn it on you, you'd be like, oh, they notice I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
And right. I always looked at it that way. I never looked it as a thing. It's like, these guys don't like me. I'm like, dude, if they're just raining shit on you, that's, they kind of want you around
at the cellar.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, cool, at least I'm one.
He's just busting. Yeah. Artie's nobody. Artie is 40 some years old and he's super lucky to be opening for Tracy Morgan now. And he says, and he's gotten, like, now he's gotten, like, in the favor of, like, young comics.
Yeah,
so young comics, like, think there's a place for so he's gonna do, Artie's gonna do, like, he's doing, like, warm-up for Andrew Schultz's show, which is, like, oh, it's an awesome gig for Artie. Oh, wow. Man. It's a perfect gig for him.
MTV show?
Yeah, MTV too. So Artie's doing the warm-up. Artie's warm-up. Like, perfect. Dude, if I had a show, Artie is a guy I would absolutely love to have do warm-up for. Oh, yeah, he keeps the energy good, man. It's all positive energy. He's not negative at all. He wants to save every audience member to a flaw. Sometimes there's a guy who probably needs to be shit on and have to, and
he wants to, like, be nice with him.
He just, he's like, oh, come on, man, you're trying, I'm just having fun here tonight. Uh-huh. He's very, like, he's trying.
He's really nice.
Like, yeah, he's super nice. Like, I'm saying, he's like, it's interesting, man. But, like, he's such a
the first time Metzger and Rogan met, it was in Montreal. Just a random, he was there when we were doing like a show for the UFC.
I wish I had one of those situations, but I just never do it. And for that reason alone, by the way, like, they saw you, that when Attell was there, he goes, yeah, you know, I work with a lot of good young comics out in New York. He's like, you know, like Kurt Metzger, and Rogan goes, love Kurt Metzger. He's like, yeah, I met him in Montreal once, watched him, and really, and Attell's like, he's great, right? He's like, really, really fucking funny. He goes, got other great guys, like, you know, Big Jay Okerson, you know, he goes, I've heard the name.
That's as much as he can do. But as soon as Kurt met him, that's the first thing he said. He goes, oh, hey, nice to meet you, man. Hey, what do you take for your hair? That's all he cared about.
Two guys with receding hairlines.
Yeah, just like, I'm going right forward. He goes, what do you do? What do you do to start the ball? Like, it's like right off. That's all he cares about.
His hair.
Yeah,
he wants to save that shit. Oh, but he shaves his head now.
Oh, Rogan does now. Yeah.
No, it's just, it was just too bad. It was too bald.
Yeah, he couldn't. He was like trying to hold on to it, and then eventually he was like, let's just shave it. What's the difference? I don't really remember.
You got
to
really own that look, man. You got to have a good shave.
It's fine now.
Like, Luis Gomez is lucky. He has a really great shaved head.
Oh, that's what, when I met his kid, and he was like, this is Ari. He told me to get rid of you. He said to not have you. I was like, oh, yeah. Sorry, kid.
Sorry, little girl. Yeah. He goes, I was like, 50-50. It's so funny. You picked the wrong one. He goes, I finally met Luis's little girl.
Nope.
Question mark on it.
All right. Hey, what? You got a podcast, the Legion of Skanks.
Hell yeah. Let's push the fucking Kush Lab clothing guys, man.
Oh yeah, I saw them on Twitter today.
Yeah, I told them I would bump them on your thing because you essentially, it was your tweet that got them to reach out to me. But those guys came through.
You asked
enormous.
Me once in a while to be like, hey, Ari, do you know anyone who has weed and so and so?
I don't even say now. I just say, hey, tweet that.
Yeah, you know how I'm gonna do it. Kurt asked me once. He was like, do you know anyone who has weed in Montreal? I was like, yeah, give me a minute. And then I did the same sort of thing. He's like, dude, can you take that shit down? People are gonna see that. I'm like, who's gonna see it? Who's gonna see what?
Who gives a fuck? Kurt's worried about, like,
I don't know.
What about when I run for office?
Yeah, he's the drugs guy. Like, he thought he wouldn't be able to go back to Canada. Like, they don't care about weed there.
They don't care about weed there.
He goes, but the Border Patrol, like, but they're not looking at your Twitter feed, your at replies.
I love that guy. The government's always watching, man. Not you. That's my only thing. It's like, where I love Dave Smith so much and his concern about, like, the government control over and checking your emails and going through all that stuff. I agree. That's shitty. They should not check your emails. All that being said, like, what are you going to find on me, really? Really, what are you going to find? I'm not saying you won't find anything that's, like, incriminating.
I read an article about this recently.
But you get what I'm saying? Though? It's like, at the end,
you know,
of the day,
the amount of federal laws they have, it's like a tremendous amount of pages they have federal laws. There's a federal law against owning too big a lobster.
Oh, like, yeah.
So if they see you say, I had this massive 3-pound lobster, even if you bought it from a supermarket, they can be like, cool, well, now we have reason to go in there and fucking knock his house down. He broke a federal law.
Yeah.
So everyone's got little shit to hide that you don't even know about.
Oh, yeah. Look, sure. I understand. But I'm just saying more about the idea of, like, the idea of, like, Big Brother's watching, like, so much. Like, well, I said, my point being, I don't worry about tweets.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the point I'm saying. Like, I don't think that it's, like, even if it gets around, really, it's like looking for weed. Is nobody at the end of the fucking world?
When
really?
I got caught at the Mall of America hiding it with those cops called me. Yeah. And Rogan's like, see, doesn't that show you can't do that anymore? I'm like, no, I got off scot-free.
The show completely let me go.
Cops can find out about it, and I still won't get in trouble. This is the proof of the opposite.
That was hilarious because the people went there, they were like, you used to cause like pandemonium. Like, they were ripping apart stores yeah. trying to find your edible weed.
So those guys, so I said, hey, hook up Kurt, Big J Okerson with some weed. Do you get yeah. tickets to your show? Do you offer them tickets?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I figured.
And they came.
Would.
Well, one guy came. Actually, a second guy came like to two shows. But those Kush Lab Clothing .com in Toledo, Ohio. Man, those guys were awesome. Yeah, they came out with t-shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, just an amount of weed that was just like impossible for a human to smoke.
I love that.
Yeah, I you know what? It's something very comforting where you're like, and look, when someone hooks you up and they come by,
their fans are pretty cool.
Sometimes like someone who works at the club will be like, hook you up. It's like, hey man, I got like, you know, $40, and it's like a little thing, and you're like, this might not last. But those long gigs where you got like a Wednesday, Thursday, so
yeah.
sometimes you know, like, but you're Thursday. It's like, there's a thing where it's like, I might run out, but when you have so much, you know you're going to have to give some away. It is a very comforting, like, oh, nice. I end up feeling like I smoke less when I have so much, too. Like, I feel
smoke
like
less?
In a weird way, it's almost
to
like
get through it. So sometimes if my fans come early with a lot, then I'm like, it's my Holocaust survivor, like, son's mentality, where I'm like, I can't waste this. So I just, morning, noon, and night,
yeah,
I'm smoking all day long, trying to get through it.
I do more than I would normally, but... Not okay. I mean, I stay pretty stoned, but like, it's just like it's, you can only do so much in my mind.
I love when a fan after the show, when they're all like, you know, you say goodbye to people, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to get better at it.
Okay, you just gotta be out there.
Sometimes I hibernate.
Yeah, I used to. Jake Johansson told me once, like after a show, he's like, "Where do you
they
leave?"
Wanna,
every
they want to see
after?
You, man. They want to fucking shake hands.
Yeah, but when they shake your hand, you just it's like a bumpy in there. And you're like, what? There's something in, like, it takes your mind for a second, and you're like, oh, it's a heavy handshake.
Yeah.
And they fucking palm it to you, and you're like, thanks.
It's great. Yeah, no, it's fucking
It's so nice. It's like, dude, I really can use this here. I don't know anyone here.
No, it's a sweet thing, yeah, because when you get there, is that for your first
concern. You can find food. You can find candy.
Sometimes the worst situation.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably don't have to deal with this much anymore, but, like, yeah, that thing where it's like, show start Thursday,
yeah,
but we need you Thursday morning for press.
You got to come Wednesday in
Wednesday.
Night.
And there's no show. You're not at a comedy club.
Yeah.
I always think it's funny when you go to a place like that and like there is like it's like Wednesday's open mic night. Your show start Thursday. I think I go to the driver and you land, it's like 7 at night or something, or even like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And they're like, so he's going to take you to the hotel. And I was like, what's going on at the club? And they're like, open mic. And they're
like, oh, let me go
like,
to the spot.
You want
to
go swing by? He's like, yeah, you want to go by? I was like, what the fuck else am I going to do?
They were so shocked at Moon Tower that I got my plane was delayed a bunch, and then the first show I was supposed to be on is still going. But they're like, you can make it if you go now, but we can't stop at the hotel. I'm like, then let's not stop at the hotel. Let me just go do the last spot.
Yeah.
And they're all like, really? You came here? I'm like, I'm a comic. Who are you guys dealing with?
What am I going to do? It's
like,
you're going to sit me in a room and I'm going to do what? Put my thumb in my ass all night? Like, yeah. Let's just do it.
Man, it's so nice, though, when they hook you up. It's just, that Wednesday in Winnipeg, these guys came and met me that night. It was the same thing. I had to get in for press. So I'm like, dude, that means I got 26, 27 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Until the next time I might be able to find somebody with weed. And they came and met me at the hotel and smoked.
Because you know when you get to the club, but there's also that fear when you get to the club and it's like, hey, man, anybody who works here know about it. And it's always like, tomorrow.
I can call now and get you some. I've told guys, I'm like, look, anyone from LA, I'm telling you right now, just have weed for them.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
be prepared. Half the other guys.
Well, these Kush Lab guys told me flat out to let any comic know if you're coming to Toledo to reach out to them.
Oh, really?
And they'll take care of you. Yeah.
Toledo.
They
nice.
Were great, man. And how the weed was insane. Columbus. It was just like homegrown. So good, man. How far is Toledo from Columbus?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That guy met us in Columbus.
Not the Kush Lab guy.
No, but somebody else.
Yeah.
That was nice.
No, that was really sweet, man. No, dude, when they come out, it's amazing, man. Dude, South by Southwest, dude, you put that tweet out and there was a Mexican on a bicycle with weed. Not even halfway joking.
Mexican on a bicycle.
30 minutes later. I almost missed him.
That's great.
I almost had to smoke a cigarette after I got a hold of him.
Yeah.
And when I came back up to the room, he was calling me standing outside my room. I was like, oh, shit, like, with his bicycle.
I'm waiting.
So bizarre.
All right, so Legion of Skanks is your podcast.
Yes, indeed.
And it's not, you guys don't talk about skanks. It's a misnomer.
Yeah, it's, we're the Legion of Skanks. The three dudes. Are the skanks. Yeah. We're the three fucking assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, you did it. That episode, what a fun episode that was. But I'm saying,
that was a good one.
It's a pretty skanky conversation to have that we broke down for over an hour. What's the food you would choose to eat if you had to be a sex slave in Cleveland? If you're a sex slave and he's going to get you fast food every day and you're going to be raped and tortured, what's the fast food that you would choose? Yeah. If you choose your fast food,
any
for
restaurant
10 years,
you want.
And through a series of, well, listen to the episode.
Which episode was that?
Do
you remember?
It's the newest one. It's 57, I think.
Okay.
Episode 57 on
iTunes.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. That's pretty ridiculous. Those girls came in halfway through. Like, what are you guys talking about? Like, oh.
And we said before, we're just trying to, we try to dull it down. We're just trying to figure out what the best fast food place is. Yeah, and then Lewis goes, yeah, you know, if you have to be tied up and raped in a room for 10 years, what's the fast food you would be? And we're not sure if Subway is fast food. And the girl's response was like, yeah, I think Subway's fast food. Like she actually wasn't shaken by that whole concept. Yeah. It's amazing that some people get on a soapbox and start, you know, blogging when the word rape is over. And some people are like,
can just pass.
Some people are like, she goes, oh yeah, I think Subway's thing. Well, I guess if I had to be raped in a thing. I heard a Ricky Gervais interview today. I think I told you that. I heard that was actually pretty interesting. He was talking about that stuff, and like, it's funny, I don't find Ricky Gervais to be super provocative, but like, in talking about his thing, like, it's amazing how mad an audience ever gets, man, when it's so, like, it's so lined up in the intent. Just the fact that you're a stand-up comedian shows 1,000% that your intent was to be funny.
Yeah, like,
so to be, I get not thinking it's funny, I get not laughing, but to be so upset when you're like, hey, you know, I was hoping you were going to like laugh with me when I said that.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't looking for you to actually like write an angry letter, and I would prefer that everyone was fucking cheering and screaming when it was over of happiness and joy.
Yeah, I wasn't trying.
And not writing letters, but I get the balance, and I appreciate hate mail in its own way. I think it's funny. One, and it means you affected somebody in some way, but like when they are, but I am always taken back by how angry they are when you're just like, really? So, wow, like, when you're angry at me, I'm really upset. I'm like, man, I really got under your skin for some like shit. It's like, you realize it's just a dumb joke, right? The other thing, it's like, even if I mean it, it's like at the end of the day, it's like, you realize it's just like some kind of like stretch of like the, you know what I mean? I don't know. To me, it's like anything that I really feel is like morally unsound that I talk about in my set that I've done, like a real true story.
Yeah.
I feel like the reason I'm able to tell it and get a laugh from the majority of people is that I'm apologetic almost in a sense of like, or almost like ashamed of myself. Like, I know what's shitty. I don't have a character, right. And I'm not Dice, where the thing is, goes, I'll fucking...
Yeah, a lot of those characters get away with stuff.
But it's like, I'll blow a load on her face and never call her again, and then I'll fuck her mother if she has something to say. Like, I don't do that at all. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, So if I tell something that I did that's like, where I'm like, oh, jeez, I shouldn't have done that, like, in the telling of the story, there's an air of me that says, if not literally... I mean, or if not verbatim, I say those words. Like, there's some air of it.
About
going, it's like, I shouldn't have done this, but here's what I did.
And they still get mad at you. And you're like, I'm just sharing you.
But I know, but it's like a grotesque story about you jerking off on a sleeping girl's face. Like, I start that whole story by telling you, this may be the shittiest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
You want one?
Hey, before we go, Shroomfest is coming up this weekend.
Hell's yeah.
I don't know if it's going to play on Monday or not, but it would be on Shroomfest. So let's talk about the last time we did shrooms together.
Remember? Perfect fucking circle, man.
Perfect circle.
That was great.
We went to Ottawa Blues Fest.
Sitting above that scaffold, man. It was crazy. It was so shaky.
You knew, because you would. That's the next time we do a podcast. We'll talk about concerts and stuff. Because you've done a bunch of like corn tours and stuff. So you knew where to go. And you're like, no, we're artists. We can hang out in the sound booth.
Yeah, right
in the middle
of the fucking thing. And they had a scaffolding above the sound booth. It was just me and you and like some leftover skanked out beer.
Yeah, that we just drank.
We just fucking and it was like shaking sort of
in the wind.
And the fucking Perfect Circle, you know, it's the lead singer from Tool, so he's just like a weird reclusive.
Yeah, we watched Black Keys the night before, right?
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. We watched them from in between where
the barrier
goes in
the
band. Yeah.
That was really great, man. They were awesome fucking band live.
That's why I did that at Rock on the Range.
Yeah.
Because I saw it there when we were walking Black Keys, the way the fucking, as the people crowd surf, the bouncers have to like catch them like it's Plinko.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking nuts.
And when they catch you, you're like, thank you, man. I would have fallen. And you just...
and you would have fallen like so bad. Yeah. Like, you really, like, some of those guys catch you like ass over head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Those guys must go home with sore backs the next fucking day, man. I mean, it's
a tough job. Get kicked in the face
catching
constantly.
Catching human beings all day long. That's fucking no bullshit.
But yeah, we found mushrooms and we're like, let's do them in Purple Circle. It was great.
I really enjoyed it so
much. And
then
walked around Ottawa for a while.
Went to a hotel room.
The best part about it, too, with the visuals, was the Purple Circle was pretty cool, especially because the lead singer plays in the background.
Yeah, he's like no one's in the front of the stage,
really. So it's semi-cool visually.
Well, it was weird. It was like that netting, and it was like purple. There's purple lights all behind. And the music's so like melodic, dark.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kind of slow and heavy, but like it's a...
The best part, though, was going to the porta potty.
Yeah, and all the purple lights were coming through, so it made all these patterns inside.
Yeah, just a little bit, and you just get lost in there. It's like, whoa. When people say, what's the best place for mushrooms? Like, you never know.
Yeah,
I really thought porta potty.
I was worried about taking mushrooms at for a concert, because I said I only took them one time before, and the way it was presented to me was like, and it seemed like it would be a bummer, but I never had it. Both times I did mushrooms, I found myself very able to focus on the thing I wanted to focus on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wasn't out of my mind.
It doesn't put you on another planet.
But they make it seem like, some people make it seem like it's going to put you out of your mind.
That's
movie
shit.
But now, I'll tell you, when I did it with Lewis is the only other time I did him, and Lewis was somewhere else, man. Like, Lewis was
gone away for a second, minutes at a time, or seconds at a time.
Yeah, like I don't know. Seconds. When I did it, everything was very conscious, but it was like, I enjoyed it very much. Like, the first time I did it with Lewis, like, I'd go on my balcony, and I would be like, I'm going to stare at the tree for a little bit.
Yeah.
I look at the tree, but like very consciously, I'd be like, oh, man, you could almost look like there's like faces kind of in the leaves, like if you kind of let your eyes just relax.
Yeah.
And just enjoying like a breeze. But I was like, but if it makes sense, like my phone would ring and I'd be like, hello. Oh, yeah. And those guys were like, Dave and Lewis both were like, it's like, oh, man, how are you? How are you possibly
maybe it wasn't hitting you as
making
hard.
A phone call? And I'm like, no, I was fucking
also,
pretty
some,
whacked,
some of it's
man.
Like if I just sit and watch TV.
Yeah.
Like if I don't leave then I don't really trip out as hard. I'm just sitting watching.
That might be what it is.
And
so I was able to kind of focus.
Yeah.
I watched the Howard Stern thing that I found just like it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like an hour long Howard Stern episode from like back like in the day of him going at like showing him going at a guy who the company was mad at that the company hired a guy who shit talked him, tried to go against him a couple years before. And got buried by Stern.
He's all about revenge.
And then, like, but this guy got hired. But yeah, but then it was like, it was a two-part thing. It was him getting mad at the company for it, for hiring him. And then that guy coming in to apologize the next day. And Stern accepting his apology. And he at the same time saying, he goes, I understand. He goes, I accept your apology. He goes, that being said, he goes, I will never speak to you in the hallways. We will cross paths. You will not be. I think now he would actually say that he wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I think now he's grown up a little bit more, but at the time it was thinking he goes, and when my contract negotiation comes, one of the stipulations of my contract will be that you do not work at this building anymore.
That's not really accepting an apology.
No, I know it's not. But I'm just trying to say whatever it was. I just thought it was like so. I don't know. I thought the fucking like
you got it. I just got mine.
I thought the power move was so fucking awesome of it, like the way he did. But anyway, I was like, I was on mushrooms after, and the night we did him too was like same thing. Like we made decisions. Like kind of it was like a. Should we like take a transport back to the hotel? And you're like, hey, we can kind of walk. It's like a cool walk. So we did the walk and we got food.
Yeah, walking around. First year I did, the year before, I walked around until like 6 a.m.
Really?
It's a safe city.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
It's so nice in the summer. Yeah, we got food. I remember giving the pizza guy when he came.
Yeah.
Because when we went outside, you smoked. I might have been smoking then. I'm not sure. Or we smoked pot outside outside the hotel. The Ark Hotel.
The Ark, that's what called?
Yeah, but the window, the building across had a bunch of windows. I remember staring at it. They all just started swimming.
Yeah. You know? No, you'll catch. But even as it happens, like there's something in my mind going like, oh man, the windows are running off the building. It's I'm like, I realize that like there's a drug making me see that, and kind of enjoying that.
I've had both ways. I've had really deep trips where you're like, whoa, and then sometimes where you're just like, chill, have fun. You know,
Dave
around.
Had more of that. Like the universe makes sense to me for a few. And I'm like, no, I never got that. Like I never got
take
that.
Take it more,
huh?
Take it more. You'll do it.
Yeah.
Just the more times you do it. I mean, they say it's like some of the most spiritual experiences of people's lives, but not every time.
You've done DMT, yeah?
No.
Never did it?
Uh-uh.
Really, Friends of Rogan, you never did it?
Came across it once recently, I think in Winnipeg. But the guy who gave it to me is like, hey, here's some DMT.
Hey, man, I live with my mom.
if you don't do it, just flush it. Don't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why flush it? And he goes, well, you know, it's powerful stuff. And I'm like, you got in my head now.
I hear you. Yeah, same
thing. Like, what does that mean? What's in here? Because usually I'm like, you know, there's a chance I'm going to give this to other people.
You're supposed to do it with somebody, though, too, right? You're not supposed to do it alone.
Somebody watching you?
Yeah, right.
I thought it was just 10 minutes of you being out.
I thought someone's supposed to keep their fucking eye
really trusted.
What is it? It's like the chemical in your dream that makes you dream, right?
Yeah, something like that.
There's a documentary on Netflix about it. I should watch it.
Yeah, me too. But before we finished that, I remember watching Jackass 2 in your hotel room.
And loving it.
Yeah, love it. It was great. But there was the scene where they were using Steve-O as human bait for the sharks.
Yeah.
And they showed all the sharks. But I remember seeing this one shark swimming and then turning to me with a big cartoon mouth and just going, huh? And like snapping.
Yeah.
I remember leaning back going, whoa. Looking at you, you hadn't reacted at all. And I was like,
I guess
all
right, it happened.
That was mushrooms.
I just watched that the other day. It was on, I think it was on Comedy Central, like, you know, uncensored at late night.
Yeah.
When I was in, I think Toledo, actually, or Toronto. It was Toronto. But it was, fuck, man. That, the fire hose. When they got his fire hose rodeo, he holds the fire hose.
And he starts flapping him around.
But then it like throws him really high in the air and he comes crashing down. And like his genuine thing, his voice, he's like, oh man,
oh, yeah,
that hurts so much. Like,
he was all scraped up.
My ass hurts so much. Right. It was like the wind's knocked out. It was like so genuine. Like, I love those guys, man. Those guys are fucking, they're geniuses in their own way, because it's not these guys that are willing to do this crazy shit. It's that they're willing to do it, get really fucked up, and then do it again.
Yeah.
That is so great to me.
Oh, those are some of the best movies of all time.
Oh, we just got to wrap this up. Everyone's fading. Yeah.
So, Big J Okerson on Twitter, that you're never on.
I'm on. I check it every day.
Legion of Skanks. You have a website?
BigJComedy.com.
Oh, nice.
And also, I think BigJOkerson.com is now mine and links to it.
Oh, cool.
So, fuck yeah.
Yeah, you're hilarious. I wish you had more stuff out. People can see.
We're getting there. I'm working on the special. It's going to happen. I'm doing an hour special.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll give you one, right? Comedy Central?
They're coming to see it. Like, they're willing to see it. It's going to be uncensored. It has to be uncensored, obviously. And I pitched it to them like that, and they seem into the idea.
It seems like right now they're starting to be more ideas of like, yep, we're going to try that. They know
just
that
give
they...
Just go hardcore, man. So it's like, I'm going to give a shit. And if not, but you know what? If not that, man, like, I'm making it, and I'm putting it out, like, somehow. It's Showtime, internet, whatever. It's like, it's good. I need an hour chunk of video. Like, I need an hour special.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm doing that definitely this year.
Yeah.
100%. All right. Thank you, brother, man. Thanks for letting me do this.
Welcome.
It was fun.
Continue helping Jay find weed on the road.
Yes, always.
Be a good Samaritan. Support comedy.
I'll always let you know where
it's
I'm
always like, hey, visit our sponsors and stuff, but really, it's like, give us weed on the road.
Yeah.
We're really a lot more important.
It's where we need it. And we need it on the first night we get there. Understand that. You need it almost as soon as you land, or you're not.
And when they hit you on Saturday
yet.
Late Show, like, hey, you need. I'm like, come on, man, where were you?
Yeah, yeah, now I don't.
Still need a little bit.
Yeah, it's like I'll take it.
7 hours.
Thank you, brother, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good night. You are young, life is long. There is time to kill today. And then one day you find 10 years have gone behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun.
All right, you guys, that's it. That's the episode. That was cool with, about that Kevin Hart story. I could see that. Getting just like, fuck, man. When you start with somebody, so it's like you always feel like you're on the same level as the people you start with. At least I am like that on comedy. The ones that have passed me, the ones I've passed, like career-wise, I guess. I still feel like we're all on the same level. You know? And not even like ones I started with like the same year. I'm talking about within like 3 or 4 or 5 years. It's just like, maybe even everybody. Maybe I just feel like we're all colleagues. Fucking Shroomfest was good. That's the episode, everybody. Follow Jay on Twitter, Big J Okerson, at Big J Okerson. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed it. Please check out my t-shirts and CDs that are online now. You can get them at my merch site, arithegreat.com. Also, don't forget to go to the website to check out all the extras from the podcast. Any music, any the person's Twitter address, some links to their shit, sometimes pictures. Shroomfest, we put up all the pictures up there. You should see them. They're pretty funny if you listen to that episode. Pretty funny, I should say so myself. They're not that funny. All right, you guys, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, get a t-shirt. You want to support the podcast, get a t-shirt. No sponsors this week. So I'm out, I guess, of money for this week. I'm out $50. I guess you can go to Amazon. Do the Amazon link or go to proflowers.com. Do all those through my website. Or make reservations for a show coming up. I'll be on Calgary in September, among those other things. Just fucking come see me. And I'm at the Stand a bunch too, so if I'm not there, maybe Big J will be. It's a cool place, and everybody says it, but it's got great food. Allison, the chef, about to call her cook and make a fool of myself, but the chef Allison, Allie, she's awesome. She went to Culinary Academy for like 7 years, where she was beaten into oblivion until she learned how to let go of what she knew as recipes and accept the zen of it's all just food. Yeah, she makes amazing food, so... eat there, fucking drink there. It's a cool bar upstairs. It's a cool club. You guys should go. You guys should go. They have top shelf comics too. Judah Friedlander's always there from 30 Rock. Norton was there last weekend doing pop-ins. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Wait, was there something? Oh, I want to do a mailbag episode. I was talking to Rogan about it. And I'm remembering Bill Simmons, who wrote that sweet article on the Patriots winning the Super Bowl as a wild card team that makes me cry all the time. I was just thinking of this. Nah, fuck it. I'll do it another time. But yeah, just do a, like an answering questions episode. So if you guys want to ask questions, I wonder how we'll compile these. Maybe just, I don't check that FormSpring thing anymore. That's not a bad idea though. FormSpring, does anyone still use FormSpring? I don't know. I guess maybe go there or just write me at contact@arishafir.com or contact@arithegreat.com. They both work. And yeah, write me questions and then one day I'll just do an episode. I say that sounds really self-indulgent. Maybe I won't do that. That sounds actually really douchey. All right, cancel it. Cancel it. I can't. What are we just going to fucking interview myself about being awesome? No, that's not. We're not doing that. Here's another reason why I'm cool. No. Unless the questions were good. Nah. All right, so that's it. Don't forget, August 13th, right around then, I'll come up with specific stuff, maybe within the next week. But tell Kreischer to tell me what day is free so he can be on it. And that's it, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Please tell everybody about it. And seriously, share those stories on Facebook. Go look at one right now. This Is Not Happening presents. This Is Not Happening presents. See my story if you want. I have a sweet story about taking overdosing on, all right. Well, enjoy. Let me clean up my apartment. I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you for tuning in. BJ Okerson, follow him on Twitter. Man, I know this shit I'm forgetting, but fuck it. Goodbye. Thank you for listening.
Where do we go now?